about. You gotta put it in perspective.
You know the right radio frequency could take out this entire block.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Everything is falling apart, and like birds are dying. I mean, birds are dying, and it's like hard, you know, to like wake up every day and know that like there are bad things happening. And this bird was just like a symbol of that.
It's like a roller coaster ride of emotion in here.
Psycho Mike. Period. Psycho Mike. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Psycho Mike.
He doesn't do a lot of work around here. He shows zero initiative. He's not a team player. He's never wanted to go that extra mile.
Friendship and trust in the entourage is the most important thing. Like that HBO show, John Adams.
And now.
Here it is, heart of New York City, Times Square, named for the good times you have when you're in it.
Our feature presentation.
I think that's accurate. I think that is true. It's named for the good times you have when you're in it.
That's why?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that.
I'm about ready to leave New York. I'm about ready to go home. How about you guys?
Yeah.
I'd like to say the city can suck my balls.
What? You love New York.
I do.
You're the first one on the, hey, guys, let's go to New York train.
I know. I like to travel. Right. But then I run myself into the ground. But this particular trip, it rained.
Yeah, it did.
And then it rained. And then after that, some moisture came from the sky. And then the next day, there was still some more precipitation.
But it never, I mean, at least the times that I was outside, I never saw it raining hard.
No, it rained hard. It did. Because I was out when it was.
I mean, mostly it was showers and misty.
Being as rain doesn't bother me, guy.
Right.
Oh, this is nothing. Let's walk. So we walk, and by the time we get there, he's soaked. But he goes, nope, dry.
I didn't say nope, dry. It's just not that big a deal.
He's just not at all bothered by it.
My jeans were wet up to the knees by the time I got home the other day.
What are we talking about now?
Get the bell here.
We're talking about the rain.
Oh. We are broadcasting again from New York City today. Final day in New York.
You were waiting for me to say it.
Nope.
Okay.
I was not.
You just weren't thinking.
I was just typically trying to figure out something else to say.
All right.
That's all.
We do have so much program today. So much, Sean. We'll tell you all about it right after we try to get some phone calls on the air like we do every morning at this time. It's the Monday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Here's the number, 1-800-520-1067. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
Here's your prize today for getting on the air. How about a pair of tickets to see some real-life auto racing? It's the Pepsi 500 coming up on Sunday, October the 11th at the Auto Club Speedway, and that's what you get. Well, we might as well start with, I guess we got to start with Eric, because...
Yeah, Eric.
Because the biggest story in America is on everyone's mind. So let's see what Eric has to say about it. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
Yeah, Eric.
Hey, all right, so Kanye West and Taylor Swift last night.
Right.
Oh, my God. This guy is the biggest douchebag I've ever seen in my life.
Like, exactly right.
How the hell does he even, like, keep endorsements? How does anyone even listen to him? I mean, what, last year he got all cocky and pissed because he didn't win an award, and now he's...
Okay, let me put you on that pause for 1 second there, Eric. For folks who did not watch the MTV Video Music Awards, Mike, is there any chance that you have the Kanye audio available to us?
I do. Here we go.
So here's the scene. So Taylor Swift wins an award for Best Female Video last night, early in the show, within the first hour of the MTV Video Music Awards. Kanye, sitting in the audience, doesn't approve of that choice, thinks instead that his friend Beyonce should have won the award, runs up on stage and grabs the microphone from Taylor Swift, has this to say.
Thank you so much for giving me a chance to win a VMA award.
Yo, Taylor, I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. One of the best videos of all time.
And the boos begin, and every time his name was mentioned the rest of the night, he got booed. What do you think's going on there, Eric? Just deep insecurity or way too much confidence that people care what he thinks on every topic, or what's happening?
I think he's just way too cocky. It's just he started a new movement of hip-hop, and he just goes out there and he thinks that he's the best, and people give him too much attention. So people just need to stop listening to him. It's just like Chris Brown. We just need to forget about him.
don't know that that's the level that it was, but it did seem kind of odd. He destroyed her.
Taylor did.
She just stood there.
Bean, how old is she?
I think she's 19.
And she's hot.
And it's I think, her first major award, and it was a big moment for her. And she ended up 1 minute after the happiest time of her life backstage just weeping. So
isn't that? I just thought that was so mean. Kanye. She just deflated in front of you. You could see it. It was so sad.
It was very sad. All right. Thank you for the call, Eric. Let's go down to line four, please, and talk to Robert on the Kevin Amin Show. Robert, thanks for getting up early with us. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do?
So, just wanted to talk about, you know, football yesterday. Yes. Going to be back. Especially, you know, talk about the 49ers putting it down on the Cardinals.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was
Kevin is not so pleased. The Cardinals are his team.
That was really good.
Was it an ideal way to come off of a season where you went to the they went to the Super Bowl last year, right?
Well, yes.
Yeah, they went technically to the Super Bowl, and you would have thought they were the worst team in football yesterday.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot, man.
There were some amazing games and some incredible performances yesterday. Watching Drew Brees throw 6 touchdowns in one game, for instance, was unbelievable. Watching Jay Cutler throw 3 interceptions in one game was amazing. I mean, there was a lot of cool stuff happening yesterday.
How about Kurt Warner just folding?
Yeah. How about you stop talking about it, mother effer?
He's pretty excited about that Arizona game, isn't he? Yeah, it was great to have football back, that's for sure. And Kevin, you have never been sadder to not be home with your DirecTV football package.
Yeah, I really need that. And I totally forgot you can watch it online now. Could have watched
the
whole...
Oh, you're kidding.
Totally forgot.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. All right. Hey, you guys want to talk to DeJuan A. Johnson from Los Angeles, California?
Only always.
He's on line 8. Hey, DeJuan, we're in New York City. We wish you were here with us, buddy.
I know. What's up, players? How's it going?
Who is a player more than us? That's what I'd like to say.
What's going on, young man?
You guys should let me know if you guys go to New York City or not. You should invite me there.
Why didn't we think of that?
Wow, DeJuan, we're sorry. We didn't even... Well, the problem is that our company will pay for 1.5 of us, and then the rest of us have to kind of pay our own way. So it's a little tough. It's a little tough that way. But,
yeah.
But we should have. We totally should have, and we apologize.
Oh, that's okay. All right. Vampire Diaries is the great show ever. I saw the first episode last week.
Oh, did you?
On the CW, I watched it as well, as I love vampires.
Was it good?
Yeah. The actress is Nina Davu.
Yeah.
She currently playing on Degrassi.
Right. Okay.
You saw that all of those hot girl stars of the Vampire Diaries got arrested a couple of days ago, right, DeJuan?
I heard about that on the internet. I was surprised and shocked about that.
Tell people what it was they got arrested for.
For, like, flashing their boobs.
How about that?
Where's that video?
How about that? They're so hot, they were flashing motorists. They were, like, on a bridge overlooking a highway. Where?
In Atlanta, Georgia.
And is it on YouTube?
I don't know that they were filming it, but you know what? I mean, there has to be no doubt in anyone's mind that they intentionally did that to get all the publicity from that because their show was debuting.
Yeah,
of
course.
Hot chicks just don't go out and start flashing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I met Nina at the Viper Room last year on December the 2nd.
Is that right? You remember the date and everything?
Yes, when she saw a show there, I just met her, said hello, asked her like a few questions, and that's it.
Uh-huh. Did you hit that, DeJuan?
I didn't recognize her. She played on Degrassi or not.
Did you ever call her again after you guys had sex?
No, I don't call her. She looked like Madeline Zima to me.
He's loving him, leaving him.
Yeah, he is. DeJuan, man. He just burns through the chicks. What? Why call her back when there's somebody else he can meet tonight?
Exactly.
What's the point? DeJuan, you're the best, man. We got to go, but I'm glad you called, and I'm glad you like the Vampire Diaries. I'm looking forward to seeing it, too.
Cool.
All right.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Have a great day.
Peace out.
Indeed. All right. So.
He's the best.
What about today's Kevin Amin Show?
Well, we have a breakfast with a band called Muse. Very excited about that.
Love those guys. Kevin, you saw them in concert last night.
I did. They're unbelievable. Unbelievable, that band.
They make a lot of music. Make a lot of music for three guys, don't
they? Yes.
I mean, I know they have a little help on stage, but it's still unbelievable how much music they generate.
They have one, like, touring keyboardist that plays on about half the tracks, and that's it. Other than that, it's just those three guys. Wow. And it was in a tiny place. I don't know. How many do you think it held? 2,000, 3,000, 6,000?
If that. I mean,
600.
Yeah, I was going to say low, low, low.
Really, really small and zero air conditioning. So nice. Halfway through the first song, you're just pouring sweat. It was not sexy.
Like no one in that room should be sweating unless they're in the band.
Right, exactly.
Like that, right?
Yeah. It was really unbelievable, but it was a great show.
Well, we love these breakfasts because they're a small place, small crowd, big band. And I think there's only, I don't know, a couple of dozen Kevin and Bean listeners that are joining us for the breakfast to get a chance to ask questions of Muse and get a chance to see him play up close. It's going to be really, really fun. That'll be around, I guess, in the third hour of this morning's Kevin and Bean show, if you want to check it out.
All right. We also have Michael Strahan coming into the studio.
Wow.
Here in New York.
I was watching him on some of the Fox coverage up there on the desk with Howie and Terry Bradshaw and everybody.
You see all the commercials for Brothers, his TV show?
Yes.
Apparently Sister's gone. They cut Sisters, cut the Sisters loose.
I think that's a different show.
Oh, all right. I'm confused.
Lisa, are you still going to follow it to the new incarnation?
I love that.
And we'll also talk to TMZ.com, find out what's going on there with all the celebrity stories.
Okay.
That's coming up today as well. And we have, we're going to interview Green Day. We had a chance to catch up with him yesterday at Radio City Music Hall.
Check
or Saturday.
Out.
I don't know.
The whole weekend is a blur.
It's all blurring together. But we have an interview with Green Day, which is very exciting. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
That's Muse right there, right?
That is Muse right there, yeah.
How would you like to join me in thanking the best band ever?
All right. Thank you, Jerry. We would, in fact. Hopefully we'll get a chance to hear that song live later on today. This is the morning that you've been waiting for. If you're a Muse fan, it's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Muse coming up in about 2 hours or so right here on this show. Ralph Garman has the day off, but we're going to take a look at the Showbiz Beat, and we'll start like we do every Monday with the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. And let me just say, white people, we've got to figure out a way to stop this Tyler Perry. What?
Why does it bug you so much?
I don't
understand this.
Yeah, I don't
this.
Care.
Because, look, I've never seen any of the Tyler Perry
movies. Exactly. Well, none of us have ever
seen mouthing off about it?
Any of them.
But apparently black people are now revolting over how bad these movies are because they're nothing but awful black stereotypes. Tyler Perry has the ability and the power in Hollywood to get any kind of movie made he wants.
Right.
Yet he's still making movies like black people were making in the 1940s.
That people want to go see?
Apparently that people want to go see, yes. It just seems like he could... Look, you're right. It's not my fight. But Tyler Perry's I Can Do Bad All By Myself, $24 million, number one at the box office.
I don't get why you say black people are revolting then. That is not a revolting number.
No, no. Certain black people are going because it's the only black movie in a theater.
Right.
Or other black people are saying, hey, Tyler Perry, why don't you make something that shows more of the breadth of the black experience, different kinds of characters rather than just the stereotyped Amos and Andy type characters that you keep putting out in every movie.
Yeah, okay. Bean may sound point. Like he's talking crazy, but he brings up a good point. Do you remember the Denzel Washington movie from about a year ago? Was it The Great Debaters?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That movie was a critical and commercial flop, and that was an excellent movie that showed a completely different and historical kind of viewpoint on black history and black culture.
It was a smart black debate club, right?
You guys are missing the point. That
people
he
like
dresses
it.
Up like a woman.
With big fake boobs.
Yes.
And says sassy things and waves guns
sassy
around.
Things.
Right. But there's more to black people than that.
No,
there's
I don't think so. I think that's it.
Wait. There's more to white people than most movies too. So what?
Right. Except there are thousands
so
of different kinds of
movies.
White movies with different white stories. You have white movies about crooks and you also have white movies about explorers and about right. astronauts and about everything else. The black movies, the only black movies that get made right. are movies like this one.
Let me ask you a different question.
Right.
A different way.
Okay.
He owns Atlanta.
Right.
He's gonna buy Georgia.
Right. I agree, yeah.
And then most of the eastern United States.
He'll own the South first
right.
and then he'll spread to the eastern United States, right?
Why would you change that?
Yeah, exactly.
Some say he has a responsibility to do more.
Some say that about us.
Well, I don't.
And they're wrong.
You're right. All right. I should have brought it up.
All yeah. right. Let's talk about Natalie Portman.
Number two at the box office. Over
we're still on the movies?
Yes.
We only did one. Was the movie Nine. Which made $10.9 million. And Glorious Bastards at three. All About Steve, which I guess is that...
that's a horrible
Sandra Bullock movie. Right? White
yes.
people should revolt against that,
yes,
too. Yes, and
four. They are.
Final Destination 5. The debut of our girlfriend, Audrina Patridge. Her film, Sorority Row, came in at number 6 at the box office over the weekend.
Oh, that couldn't have made much money.
No, $5.3 million is all. And that's ahead of Whiteout, which was another new one out this weekend. District 9 at number 8 with $3.6 million. Julie and Julia, 9. And then rounding out your top 10 is Gamer, which did not spend much time near the top.
It didn't. No.
Gamer is already pretty much gone.
I'm glad I caught that one while I had the chance.
Yes.
All right, now let's talk about Natalie Portman. Natalie Portman has told Interview Magazine in a recent episode that she loves dirty, filthy rap.
Well, I think we've seen her do it.
And she might get to work with the Wu-Tang Clan, according to this article.
Wow.
According to this article, Ghostface Killa heard or read the interview, found out about it, said she needs to call me. We definitely need to work together.
How funny. He just wants to bang Natalie Portman.
Of course. But wouldn't it be awesome if she joined the Wu-Tang Clan?
Yes, it would.
Come on. Too.
Someone's got to replace Old Dirty Bastard.
Right.
Right? They got an opening, and so does she.
Natalie Bastard. That's what we'll call her. Remember when she was on Saturday Night Live? She did this skit where she raps.
We're sitting here today with film star Natalie Portman.
Hello.
So, Natalie, what's a day in the life of Natalie Portman like?
I don't sleep, mother off that yak and that Durbin. Doing 120, getting hit while I'm swerving.
Damn, Natalie, you a crazy chick.
You shut the up and suck my
Come on, look at that.
That's better than some of the recent Wu-Tang Clan songs.
Natalie Portman and the Wu-Tang Clan.
I got two NFL-related showbiz notes for you today. First of all, it's the worst-kept secret in Hollywood, but it has now finally been confirmed by Tom Brady, who's apparently very fertile, that he has knocked up Gisele Bündchen. Now, they should adopt, right? I mean, I know they're gorgeous people and they're going to have a cute
kid,
but they should adopt.
Are you going to continue with this BS?
Don't get Gisele Bündchen pregnant. Don't screw that up.
Shut up.
She's a Victoria's Secret supermodel. You don't want to make her fat. Come on.
Look at Heidi Klum. She said three kids. She looks great. Look at Cindy Crawford. Two kids. Looks great.
I'm not saying there aren't exceptions.
They sold their souls to the devil, though.
Yeah, well, and I'm guessing this one did, too. Right.
Tom Brady confirmed to ESPN over the weekend that they are expecting by the end of the year, but he did give his wife a strict rule, which is it can't be on a Sunday. Can't have the kid on a Sunday.
Sure.
He's busy. That's not a joke, by the way. He really did say that.
All right.
He previously knocked up the ultra-hottie Bridget Moynihan, mm-hmm. and they have a two-year-old named John. The other NFL note, and you're going to love this because I know a lot of people listening were fans of Mark Sanchez when he played for USC.
Yeah.
Well, he had a great game yesterday, his debut in the NFL, one for the Jets. But his little brother is not doing him any favors by doing an interview with the New York Daily News about the music that Mark Sanchez listens to get pumped up for the game. Now, all the players have their iPods, right? And they're all like Rage Against the Machine and Jay-Z.
It's got to be something driving, exciting, get your blood pumping.
Yeah, it's got to pump you up, right? Here's what New York Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez is listing. James Taylor, Elton John, and Billy Joel.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Really?
Hey, bro.
Yeah.
How about fewer interviews about me? How about
that? Keep that to yourself.
How about that? Anyway, it apparently worked because they did beat the Texans 24-7 yesterday, but he'd probably be happier if that didn't get out.
We had an opportunity on Friday night to see Jay-Z in concert.
Yeah.
Here in New York City, Madison Square Garden. He is an amazing, amazing performer, and he brought out Kanye West. And
this was before we knew to boo Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we didn't realize then that we were supposed to boo him.
He had Mary J. Blige with him. Beyonce came out, Kanye West, Rihanna, Kid Cudi, maybe the surprise of the night was John Mayer came out and played on about three songs, including DOA. I mean, it was just one star after another coming out, and they are still rerunning that concert on the Fuse channel. If you get that, it's well worth checking out. Just a great 2 hours of music.
Well, there is a story that some of his fans are asking him, because he was an Obama supporter, and he kind of helped him get elected.
Mm-hmm.
They want Jay-Z to run for president. They're saying, why don't you run for president? He said, I don't know, maybe, you know, moving cocaine and heroin in Brooklyn. That's probably not a good career move. Some of the language that I use in my raps probably wouldn't make it.
There might be a section of society that would not approve.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Now, I'm not one of those.
You would vote for him.
Look, he's a good businessman, too.
Yeah, he is. He's not a businessman. He's a businessman. How about that, Dave?
Whoa!
But here's the thing that no one's thinking about. Beyonce, First Lady.
Oh, dude. Well, there's that.
I mean, come on. That's worth it, right?
All the people who think Michelle Obama is the best-looking First Lady ever, she's officially now dog food if Jay-Z gets in there, right?
Imagine Beyonce in there? Think about that, Jay-Z. Don't think about you.
That would be pretty strong. That would be strong. Well, the official sound scan numbers aren't out yet, but Kevin, you want to guess how many albums the Beatles have sold since they arrived in stores on Wednesday?
I got to tell you, everywhere we go in New York, that stupid rock band Beatles thing is playing and people are singing on it. It just is so annoying.
We were at an event on...
None? Did it sell none?
We were at an event on Friday down at Radio City Music Hall ahead of the MTV Video Music Awards, and they had the Beatles Rock Band setup. And Dave kept trying to get Kevin to run out on stage and grab the guitar and start playing. You've never seen guys more intensely playing that game than the dudes that were on stage. Right. They were really into it, weren't they?
And how boring was that?
It was pretty boring.
It was. So then we went to a concert on Saturday night here in New York City, and it was Kid Cudi, and it was Phoenix, who are going to be on our show tomorrow.
Right.
And they're a great band. Rock band setup. Beatles rock band.
Are you serious?
So in between the, you know, the acts, the people would get up there and they go, I saw her standing there. I was like, F you.
Well, the thing about the Beatles is people love their songs, but they're not complex. They're not difficult to play.
They're also not party songs.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So, I don't know. But I don't know about Rock Band, but I do know that in the first 2 days that the Beatles remastered album catalog was in stores, they sold over 235,000 copies just on Wednesday and Thursday Beatles albums. So, they're expecting a figure probably around 600,000 by time all is said, which isn't bad for music that was recorded in some cases 45 years ago.
Yeah, but do you think now, with the stereo CD box set out and the mono box set out and Rock Band, is this it? Is this it? This is it?
Yeah, we know how that goes when you say this is it.
There can't be more.
Well, they're not really on iTunes.
I know I'm one of the
few people. They're not on iTunes yet. They do have that still.
So when they get on iTunes, that's a whole
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
It is it. Okay.
Today's celebrity birthday is a great, great actor. You know him from the Jurassic Park movies. He was one of the stars of one of my favorite movies called The Dish. Actor Sam Neill is 62 years old today. Dan Cortese, 42. Whatever happened to that dude? Remember,
I don't know.
He was an MTV VJ at one point, an actor, very
popular.
And
he did some TV shows.
Did a lot of TV shows. Star Trek's Walter Koenig is 73 years old today. He was Chekhov, if I remember correctly. Is that right?
I believe so, yeah.
Anyway, Morten Harket, do you remember his name, Kevin?
Nope.
He was the lead singer of A-ha, and he turns 50 today. But the real reason we celebrate, ladies and gentlemen, Amy Winehouse, everybody.
Oh. Amy Winehouse. Another birthday.
I would have bet against another birthday.
Me too.
You will be shocked if you've seen Amy Winehouse lately when I tell you that she's only 26.
Oh, man.
Is she the worst looking 26 ever?
On the planet.
Yeah. Seriously. Michael Jackson looks better than her today. Amy Winehouse is 26, looks 80. Like, how is it possible? And I still would take the bet that she won't have another birthday. There will be no 27, but she is 26 today, and that is the Showbiz Beat. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, one final day broadcasting live in Manhattan. Look, I'm no Mo.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say you are a Mo.
But I'm really not.
Okay.
And I preface that so that I can say this. I thought the New Moon trailer looked pretty good last night.
It looked great.
It did, actually.
Great.
I thought the movie looked pretty good. Now, I'm not a twitard. I didn't even go see the first movie.
I am a twitard, and it looked awesome.
It really looks like it's going to be a good movie.
I think so.
And
I'm no Mo, but so does the Michael Jackson movie.
Yeah, I can't imagine going to see that. I can't imagine
in
going
a theater,
to,
in but you'll watch it, right?
I don't know.
I think it'd be
everything
interesting.
Michael Jackson did in the last few years was just so good. Manufactured and forced.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I
hear from Madonna that
he's
this
is it. And when I say this is it, it really this means this is it.
Right.
But anyway, speaking of the New Moon movie, the lead single from that soundtrack is from Death Cab for Cutie, and we are going to world premiere that for you on the radio coming up this hour, believe it or not. Meet Me on the Equinox is new Death Cab for Cutie from the New Moon soundtrack. We're going to have that for you in just a few minutes right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the MTV Video Music Awards. We'll take some of your calls if you have comments of things that we haven't talked about or you want to add to the discussion, 1-800-520-1067. We heard so much about how the show is going to open with a tribute to Michael Jackson. Musically, the tribute to Michael Jackson couldn't have been lamer, as far as I'm concerned. Bunch of no-names out there doing a quick dance routine to a medley of hits.
I liked that the lead Michael Jackson in the Thriller part of that was a white guy.
Yeah,
yes, he was a white guy.
Would it, I know he's a good dancer and all that, but would it kill him to represent Michael Jackson as a black guy, even though he tried to not be one?
But then Janet came out, right? And made it all so great for like 40 seconds.
It looked like a little fat Janet Jackson boy impersonator.
And she wasn't quite in time with him.
No, and she was also very, very sour.
What was that look on her face at the end? She looked just pissed.
She was just angry.
I was trying to figure it out because for folks who didn't see it, Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson had a song together called Scream a few years ago that had a great video to it, an outer space black and white video. They're in a spaceship and stuff. And in the original video, they have those angry looks on their faces. And I don't know if
that's what
Janet was trying to recreate or not, but she didn't look good. She didn't do anything exceptional. She didn't sound particularly good. It wasn't much of a tribute. I was hoping with the star power at the MTV Video Music Awards that they'd get a bunch of other artists to come out and sing Michael Jackson songs in
medley.
Would
have been great.
Like, have Beyonce sing part of Ben and then hand it off to somebody else singing part of another song and do kind of a deal like that, which would have really been nice.
Yeah.
But I thought what they did was pretty lame. The show actually opened with a tribute to Michael Jackson when Madonna came out. And I don't know, she talked for what seemed like 7 or 8 minutes, probably.
It was a long time.
I'm going to say a half hour.
It was a long time, and the speech had multiple parts. But here's one part of a personal story that Madonna told about Michael Jackson. I thought it was fairly effective.
In 1991, I decided I wanted to try and get to know him better. I asked him out to dinner. I said, "My treat, I'll drive, just you and me." Later, we went back to my house to watch a movie, and we sat on the couch like two kids. And somewhere in the middle of the film, his hand snuck over and held mine.
Yeah.
It felt like he was looking for a friend more than a romance. And I was happy to oblige him.
So you did what to him?
Now, what does oblige mean in Madonna speak?
Yeah. Weren't you thinking as she was telling that story, hey, I wonder where this is going?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are we going to find out that she's the mother of some of those Michael Jackson kids?
And that's the first and only time he had sex.
Now, I thought that the stories that she told about them being friends and trying to be normal, I thought were pretty effective. But then it kind of turned after that to where she like was basically accusing everyone in the audience, everyone watching at home, for abandoning Michael.
Now she's yelling at us. And I was like, hey, F you.
I never had a chance to be his friend, by the way. That was all on you.
And she started referring to the legal troubles that he got into
as a
witch hunt.
Yeah.
And I know that there are people, particularly some hardcore Michael Jackson supporters, who think that the whole thing, that he was railroaded, that there was never anything going on there.
And by the way, that's possible.
It is possible.
Who knows?
There was.
But with those complaints, anyone would have to be investigated.
Right. Exactly, yeah. So the whole Madonna thing kind of, it ended on a sour note for me, but I thought it was nice that she came out and said a few words about Michael Jackson, the man. I thought that was an appropriate
tribute. It was nice. It's when she went to the Psycho Mike Story of Storytelling, School of Storytelling, that I realized, wow, this is going on for a long time.
Well, that's why the show was over 2.5 hours long last night. Mm. If you want to join in, by the way, you can call us 1-800-520-1067 if you have anything you want to add. What about Lady Gaga, you guys?
Well, what the hell was she wearing when she was sitting in her seat? I thought that was what she was going to wear on stage, which is why she was all bundled up like that.
Like an Eskimo?
Bizarre. And then she came out in something completely different.
Right. But then she took it off, and then you went, oh, she should have left it on.
Yeah, not pretty.
She changed clothes like 5 times during the course of the show. And when she went up on stage to accept an award, I think she won the Best New Artist Award. When she went up for that, she had this... I don't know what it was, this thing that covered her entire face. You could just kind of see the outline of her face. And she started talking and then realized that was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So she took it off. And then everyone in the audience was like, put it back on. She didn't do herself any favors last night.
Then she covered herself in blood at the end of the performance.
Hanging on a noose and covered with blood.
That was not sexy.
That was a paparazzi comment, basically.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get the Gaga. Dave was saying at breakfast this morning, you know, you do stuff like that. You Marilyn Manson the act up if you don't have any talent.
Right.
But she's got talent.
Yeah. She's a decent singer,
decent singer.
She's more
than
a decent singer. More 2 or 3 times throughout her performance, I was positive she was lip-syncing, and then she would show that she wasn't by kind of going off-key or talking throughout the performance. She has an amazing voice.
A better voice than I thought,
right?
From her songs, but wow.
I had the same issue, Mike, too. I couldn't figure out if she was lip-syncing or not.
It sounded too good to be real, but then you'd realize that, you know, like I said, she'd go kind of away from the track, and I was blown away at how good she sings, and it's a good point that usually you kind of novelty it up when you're hiding the fact that you don't have any talent.
Right. But she's trying to hide the look, so what you do is you go, wow, she has an amazing look at her. And then, what's with that costume? Oh, put it back on. I mean, it's just... smoke and mirrors the whole time.
Yeah. I love that Pink, there was no pretense in Pink's performance that she wasn't lip syncing. I mean, she just stopped moving her mouth.
Yeah.
And the music and the singing just kept on going. All right, let's talk about the big talking point of the evening, which was Taylor Swift winning the Best Female Video Award. She got up to very, very big moment for the young Taylor Swift. I think it's the first major award she's won. She gets up on stage, and she's barely into her speech when Kanye West leaps on stage, grabs the mic, and gives his own speech as if anyone asked him.
Thank you so much for giving me a chance to win a VMA award.
Yo, Taylor. I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. One of the best videos of all time.
A lot of booze.
Okay. So poor Taylor is just standing there, and I guess she started to try to give her speech, and now her time's up, so they cut away from her. So the next thing we know, we hear she's backstage just sobbing.
She was frozen on the stage. It was like, I don't know what to do now.
Is there any point in saying anything after that?
Right. That was so bizarre, and I felt so bad for her because she's, what is she, 19?
Yeah.
And by the way, so what if Beyonce's video is the best video of all time? Obviously, it ended up winning Video of the Year, so a lot of people agree with Kanye. But you know what? I watch the Oscars every year. I'm not always happy with who wins, but I don't run out on stage and say, here's what I think, because
no one cares what I think. I would pay you $1,000 to do that. That would be awesome.
The conspiracy theories began seconds after the Kanye appearance last night. I saw people tweeting that they thought the thing was planned and that MTV was in on it. I don't believe that for a second. I don't think they would embarrass Taylor Swift like that. But let's see what Danielle has to say, because she's on line one. I think she has a comment in that direction. Hey, Danielle, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I really think the Kanye West thing was totally planned. I don't think they involved Taylor Swift with it. But they know Kanye West wanted to say something, like, because he knows, like, he wasn't going to win anything. But I really think that Kanye West is planned.
Obviously, it's possible. We don't have any idea. I would guess not.
But you mean what? They said to Kanye, hey, go ahead and run up whenever you want and say whatever you want on stage? Or
he said to them, I'm going to run up?
No, I don't think it was, like, planned within the show. Maybe within, like, his own little group of friends or whatever. But I really
But he wouldn't have known who was going to win that, right?
Maybe they said if Beyonce doesn't win, go up there and say something. But they know.
When you say it's planned, all you mean is that Kanye in his mind thought, if things don't go my way, I'm going to run out on stage. But you don't think anybody else was involved other than Kanye, right?
Maybe. You never know, you know, because like...
Danielle is a conspiracy theorist in the making. You don't need any kind of facts, nothing that leads you in that direction, yet you still think it might be possible.
You know what it is? It's a distrust of the, you know, whoever, the president or in this case MTV. You know, you never know what's going on or what they're playing. I don't think it was planned probably, but
I don't either.
Who has any idea?
Yeah.
I don't. And by the way, Kanye's on my list. Anyone who makes my Taylor Swift cry is not all right with me. I'll tell you that.
Wow, he's not going to want to be on your list.
let's take Rudy real quick, and then we'll close this out talking about last night's MTV Video Music Awards. Hey, Rudy, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think?
Hey, good morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May. Hi.
Good morning.
I think it was not planned. If you look at the look on Taylor Swift's face, she looks like she's ready to ball.
Well, the last girl said she thought it was an inside job, but that Taylor didn't know. It's possible that was true, too. But I find it hard to believe that MTV would allow that if they had any choice.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're saying Taylor's not that good an actress.
Well, yeah. And I don't think they would have done it behind her back. It just doesn't seem like it makes sense. Although they were behind the whole Timmy C thing from Rage Against the Machine climbing up on that. That was an inside job.
Hey, thanks for the call. Well, the evening ended with the Video of the Year presentation. Beyonce did win that. And one of the classiest things that has ever been done on an awards show, she's just won the biggest prize in music videos, and she gives her time up and asks Taylor Swift to come out and take the time to give the acceptance speech she wasn't able to give because of Kanye. Listen up.
I remember being 17 years old, up for my first MTV award with Destiny's Child, and it was one of the most exciting moments in my life. So I'd like for Taylor to come out and have her moment.
That's pretty cool.
Anyway, another year in the can. Live in New York City on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Thursday and Friday, wasn't there a webcam capability you could tune in and see the broadcast? Not that that was any great shakes, but is it up yet? Do we have it?
Yes, it's up.
It's working.
Okay.
It's nice. Up.
So we hadn't mentioned that yet today, but if you want to watch the magic that is radio, you can go to KevinandBean.com and see guys sitting in chairs talking.
That is exciting.
And by the way, let's start making Lisa wear skirts if we're going to have a webcam, for God's sake.
Well, then you're going to have to not be in the room because it's Arctic when you're here, and I cannot wear a skirt.
How dare you?
Well,
how dare you?
It's all Bean's fault.
Keep it Arctic as well, by the way, for other reasons. All right, so we're in New York City. We're here for the MTV Video Music Awards, or at least Bean was. I went to the Muse show last night. They were playing it at the exact same time. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, they showed one of the songs on MTV. But Saturday night, we went to Phoenix, who we're going to have in tomorrow.
The band Phoenix, yes. Not the city. Okay.
Correct.
Because that would be a lot of travel.
I was going to say, wow.
We went to a concert with the band Phoenix, and there was a dude there, and I've never experienced this, but that dude had rubber leg pot.
What?
I said, why is that guy walking like none of his muscles or ligaments or tendons are connected to any other part of his leg? It's like rubber walking around.
Dude, maybe he had Lou Gehrig's disease or something.
So I said to Dave, I was like, what is he? I mean, is he retarded? What's happening here? And he goes, no, weed. And I said, I've never
How
smoked.
How do you know that, Dave?
I've never smoked weed that made my legs rubber.
Been there.
And if so.
Listen to Dave.
And if so, I want some. I mean, I want to try that.
Rubber leg pot is
yes,
what we're calling it?
Rubber leg pot. I've never, it's never had that effect on me.
He was gone.
He was
walking like a pigeon. You know, he was.
But you don't think it was some sort of muscular.
No.
No. He was definitely wasted.
Just impaired.
He was on something.
Yeah, yeah. Security kindly escorted him out. And
he was about, yeah. I would guess he was 5'8", but total height when walking was about 4'6".
Wow.
I was like, I was like, man, I want to try some of
it
that.
It looked like he was doing the limbo, but no limbo.
Right. But then he got thrown out before we could ask him where he got the rubber leg pot.
Oh, so, too bad.
If anybody knows where you can get rubber leg pot, I would like that.
Dave, as a treat for the webcam viewers, we're getting requests for you to demonstrate how the guy
yes.
walked at the club. Would you mind doing that for us?
Yeah. Yes, please.
All right. Because I didn't see it.
Can you get him over there? Whatever camera that's on?
All right, you got to kind of walk sideways, I guess, right?
I have no idea.
No, we'll do it in a minute.
You think that lightning would turn on the camera that's near Dave?
Well,
but
it
I guess
is,
not.
But it's zoomed
Wait,
in.
Wait, oh, he'll just move it. Well, that's a good idea.
All right, this is Dave doing rubber leg walk.
Oh my God! Good
time. Now that is good use of a webcam,
right?
Finally,
and good use of pod. So I wanted to find that. If you have any details on that, let me know. So then we get in the cab. We don't know where to go afterwards, but we've been drinking a little.
Okay,
a tiny bit. So we said, where's a good bar? We don't know. Let's go over by NYU.
Yeah. Sure. College town. Always. We've had luck there before.
So we go over to NYU, and Lightning has to pee worse than anyone on this planet has ever had to. I mean, he is just about to die. So we pay the cab extra and drive around a long time.
No, I know we're at our destination. Just keep going around the block.
Just to torture him. And he keeps saying, oh, you guys don't understand. Seriously, I'm just going to die. So we stopped at this bar that served Belgium wine and beer, which is a BS bar, if you ask me. So just so Lightning can go to the bathroom. Then we go to a place called The Dungeon. That blows. So then we go have some pizza. But at some point during that night, and tell me if you recognize this, Bean, there are certain people who, when they drink, they're either super funny, super serious. We used to have a friend who used to cry all the time, miserable.
Yeah, he was a bad drunk.
Dave is the, I have an idea, and I'm serious. This is going to be great.
Really?
And no one took him seriously at first. So we're in the cab, and Dave says, now this is Saturday night in New York. It's probably like 1:30 in the morning or something. Dave says, you know what we should do?
And you know it's going to be great because Dave is faded, and that's when all clarity comes to him.
So I say, what? And he says, we should get a 12-pack and go to Ground Zero.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Really, Dave?
So I laughed because
thought it was a joke.
That's
right?
A funny joke. And that's when the moment hit me like, oh, my God, this guy's serious.
He wants to go. You're on a Saturday night in New York City. He wants to go to the saddest place on earth.
Yes.
With more beer.
It's the weekend of September 11th as well.
Yep.
And he wants to get a 12-pack and go to Ground Zero. So I say, that doesn't sound like a party to me.
No.
Because we're all buzzed. What,
right.
What possible? He said, we should totally pour one out for our homies.
Did somebody order Mexican?
So I said, what homies do you have that perished in 9-11? You know, our homies. We should pour one out. I was like, you're going to get a 12-pack and pour it out? And he said, well, no, I'll probably drink it. I said, well, then what? Where's the pouring it out for the homies part? And for so he was so, like, upset that I didn't see what a great idea this was.
Yeah.
We should pour one out for my homies.
And he has that really earnest look on his face.
Yes.
Like, guys, no, serious. Serious.
I just came across as a flash of brilliance. Ground Zero.
Look, we didn't get a chance to go this week, and
we didn't go.
The perfect time.
1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning.
No one would be there.
Saturday, Sunday morning.
Yeah.
With a 12-pack, with a load on, you want to go by Ground Zero.
Pay respects. Come on.
Mexicans!
Dave, by the way, I don't know what was up with Dave. I guess it's because, I mean, Look, everyone thinks about 9/11 on 9/11, but in New York City, there's a palpable vibe in the air. I mean, right. It's a heavy, heavy thing in this town, right?
It's not a party.
It's not a party
vibe.
But Dave was like really into it this weekend. Dave spent hours watching the History Channel, watching all the shows with the uncut footage and stuff like that that people shot on that day. I don't know what's going on, but I almost feel like Dave has survivor's guilt or something.
He was very disappointed that I didn't see the brilliance of this plan. So I ditched him and went back to the hotel. And then when we got back to the hotel, he's like, I got to go get gummy bears.
I got to what?
I got to go get gummy bears.
Like, gummy bears?
What are you talking about? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Why do you need gummy bears right now? For the plane.
Said, we're not leaving for 2 days, Dave.
Said, tomorrow's Sunday. And then Monday. You probably have time to get gummy. No, I'm not going to have any time. Really busy. I got to get gummy bears.
So I went up to bed, and he went to get gummy bears someplace. I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning.
How long did it take you to get it?
About 10 minutes.
And then did you go back to Ground Zero and pour out some gummy bears for your homies?
No.
No. All right.
We need to get Dave back to the West Coast because he's going to die.
Okay.
Harvey Levin, as usual, walking the beat on the mean streets of Hollywood from TMZ.com and TMZ Television joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
Good morning, guys. I was in New York just 2 days ago.
What? I saw you on TV.
Thanks a lot for looking us up, dude.
I didn't know you were there. Are you having fun?
We are. Yeah. We're having fun, but we're ready to come back.
It is the greatest city on earth, but Kevin always says after about 4 or 5 days, honestly, if he doesn't leave, he'll die.
Yeah.
But you guys, I mean, every time I listen to you guys when you go away, I mean, you guys party too much, and that's the problem.
Yep. That is the problem. It's the same problem with Vegas. Vegas is the same thing as New York, is that you go, you don't have the self-control to live a normal life,
right.
So you have to literally cut your visit short to live.
That's sure my problem. Too much partying.
Sure. I swear to God, when I listen to you guys coming back from Vegas, I feel burned out.
Yeah. Vegas is rough.
Hey, Harvey, in your long and illustrious career, did you ever live in New York City, or has it always been
Los
Angeles?
I lived for the first 2 years, we did People's Court. Okay. The second run, I was co-executive producer of it, so I lived there for 2 years, and it was great. I loved it.
Lisa and I were talking about this over the weekend, I hope I don't get hate for this, but I think the people in general are nicer here than they are in Los Angeles.
Listen to this. I went to a bar after a show on Saturday night. Right? Like a piano lounge place that someone told me about. So I'm sitting at the bar by myself, but the place is just packed with people. And like a half hour later, some guy sits down next to me. We start talking. An hour later, he's inviting me to dinner with he and his friends the next night.
And?
Gay guy.
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
Just really nice, friendly. Just come on. I'm going to their house for dinner. Text me tomorrow morning if you want to come. It'll be great. And I'm like, this would never happen in L.A.
At what point were you raped? What?
At what point was I what?
Come on.
That was too bad?
Doesn't it sound like the ultimate, oh no, I'm gay?
It does, but
right?
Come on, I got the gaydar.
All right, okay.
All right, well, we don't want to waste
time. There's a sociological reason for this, because in L.A., you don't interact with people as much because you drive everywhere in New York.
Yeah,
and other
so true.
Like that, you're constantly running into people, and you interact more. And, and it sounds crazy, but in many ways, you just develop more social skills with people because you're always running into them all the time.
You're absolutely right.
So more used to it.
Yeah, you're absolutely
I prefer Los Angeles. I don't like to talk much.
Yeah, I didn't go. I'm not an idiot.
Oh, I thought you did.
I didn't go.
All right, Harvey, you've got a late-breaking scoop on TMZ. Folks who are getting up too late may not see Kanye briefly apologizing for the stunt he pulled at the MTV Video Music Awards last night. Why don't you recap briefly for folks who didn't see the show and then tell what's going on with Kanye's apology?
Well, this has got to be the worst thing ever. I mean, Taylor Swift wins an award, and she goes up on stage. And what is she, 19?
Yeah, 19, right.
And so she goes up on stage. It's her first big thing. She's really excited. And basically he says, you know, Beyonce should have won this, and doesn't let her speak.
And he grabs the microphone from her mid.
Microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
that was
and
rough.
It's like, and you know, everything he's done in the past, you always think, okay, well, maybe he's just trying to be edgy. But this is so awful what he did.
Yeah.
I mean, to do it to her, I don't know. I think people are not going to forgive him easily for this one because this is just douchey. Well,
those people there who usually would have been very much on Kanye's side were booing. Because they felt bad. They felt bad for her.
And then later in the show, Beyonce brought her up and said, you know, I remember winning my first award. And
that was classy.
You know, totally classy. But
now, what happened with the apology? He put it up and then it got taken down?
What?
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is we put it up. So I don't know what he did on his site, but we actually put it up, and then it's taken down. I can't explain why. I mean, I don't know why.
Was it much of an apology?
He said, I'm in the wrong for going on stage and taking away her moment. I will apologize to Taylor. I'm sincerely sorry. Much respect. And then it's taken down. I don't know why it's taken down. We have no idea.
How about that? All right. In our remaining moments, Harvey, I'm perplexed by what's going on with the Sean Merriman Tila Tequila case, because we heard on Friday that the district attorney was not going to be pressing any charges against Sean.
Right.
Tila is still claiming that she was basically roughed up, and she apparently has the bruises to prove it. Why does she look so battered if nothing really happened?
Well, I mean, look, you know what the various possible scenarios are. I mean, I think one of the problems here is she said she wasn't drinking. There are people in the bar who said she was drinking. And when you when your credibility starts going into question, and it's a he said, she said case, it's really hard to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. So the DA decided that he wasn't going to prosecute. She went crazy on this and was Twittering and saying Chris Brown got charged. Why wasn't Sean Merriman charged? And then Chris Brown, you know, stupidly gets involved and says, oh, you know, she wants her 15 minutes. Chris Brown should just shut up.
He really should.
You know.
Harvey, you're also an attorney in addition to being an editor and a television personality. What do you think of this trend that has really increased in recent years where if you can't get criminal charges, you sue them civilly, which is apparently what Tila Tequila is going to do here?
But it's not a trend recently. I mean, that's always been the case. There's always been a different standard when you sue civilly, and it should be that way. I mean, when you sue civilly, all you have to do is tip the scales just a tiny, tiny bit that it's more likely that you're right than the other person and you win. But before you lock somebody up, you've got to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. So there's always been that option. People have always been doing it. I mean, remember back with O.J. Simpson, where he was found not guilty in the criminal case and they won $33 million in the civil case. It's always, it's just a different standard.
But I get the impression sometimes that the civil case is only filed because people don't get the result they want or don't get a criminal case.
Well, look, I mean, in some cases, people are so mercenary, they don't give a damn whether somebody goes to jail. They just want a jackpot. Sometimes it is only about the money. But no, I mean, it's not like a recent trend, and it really is appropriate, and people have been doing it for a long time. And one of the reasons sometimes you wait to see what happens in the criminal case is that if somebody gets convicted in a criminal case, it's basic automatic liability in the civil case, because if you've proved guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, you can certainly show the other. So there's literally in the law this thing built in where somebody who's prosecuted criminally, like I'll give you an example. If Conrad Murray, this is hypothetical, but if he's prosecuted for homicide, and if he's found guilty, then if the family sues later, he's automatically liable in a situation like that.
Gotcha.
The only issue is how much damage.
Can I sue Sean Merriman in civil court for being with Tila Tequila?
Yes, you could.
Okay. Not hitting her, just dating her.
Right.
Not only that, I will do anything I can to get you in the people's court with that case.
Yes. By the way, I'm calling Harvey. If I'm ever in any trouble, Harvey's going to be my first call. I'm telling you guys right now. All right, TMZ.com, the greatest entertainment website on the planet.
Today we have a new time period.
Oh, in Los Angeles, your TV show is on at 7 now.
No, it's on at 6. Beginning
it's today. On at 6 now.
Oh, okay.
6 o'clock.
I had a 50-50 chance of being right with that, didn't I?
You were just guessing, weren't you?
Yeah. All right, 6 o'clock in Los Angeles. Consult your local listings if you're listing elsewhere. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. As always, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
Have fun in New York, guys.
One final day in New York. It's the Kevin and Bean Show broadcasting live from Manhattan. Our breakfast with Muse is the main reason that we are here, and that will be happening in 1 hour from right now. Muse on the Kevin and Bean Show.
How would you like to join me in thanking the best band ever?
Okay. Looking forward to that, Jerry.
Plus, former NFL great Michael Strahan coming up in the next hour, and an interview with Green Day.
How about that? That's like a real show in some jug.
Yeah.
Not a show good enough for Ralph Garman to stick around and join us with, but we're going to take a very quick look at the showbiz beat because we're already running late. We have to mention, we've been covering the Kanye West incident on the VMAs. We'll talk about that again later. But we have to mention Serena Williams' performance at the U.S. Open semifinals yesterday. In tennis, you do occasionally see players really yell at the judge. But depending on who you believe, Serena yesterday, who had was called a foot foul, meaning that her foot went over the line as she was serving, and ended up losing the match because of it, was essentially had a point taken away. She screamed at the judge something to the effect of, I'm going to take this tennis racket or this tennis ball and shove it down your throat.
Yeah.
Now, that is not considered good form in tennis.
No.
And then when one judge went over to the other judge to explain what happened, she said, Serena just threatened to kill me. And you can actually hear Serena on the tape going, I didn't say that I was going to kill you.
Although shoving a ball down your throat could be deadly.
It depends on how used to that you are. You know what I mean?
Lisa would have no trouble with that.
No, but the funny part of that, and I only saw this on SportsCenter.
Right.
I watched tennis, but... was that that judge got up out of her chair as a line judge and ran over to the... She was like, hey.
She said she was going to kill me.
The maximum fine for that kind of outburst during a match, by the way, is $10,000, which is what they gave Serena, which is, of course, nothing to someone who's made tens of millions of dollars just in that tournament alone.
Yeah.
But it was a sad end for people. I mean, I think it's the worst she has finished in many years at the U.S. Open. That's her event. I mean, that's her...
And her. You can check this, but I think I heard them say that they went back to the tape and looked, and she, in fact, had not been over the line.
Yes. How about that?
Which is really
awful. No, she was right about...
She was right.
Yeah. How about that?
But she would not necessarily have lost had she kept her cool.
Serena, it didn't seem to hurt her with the fans last night because she was one of the presenters at the MTV Video Music Awards, and she got a huge round of applause when she came out. I mean, they still love her. She's the anti-Kanye.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
still
there
love her.
There you go.
How do you say Amanda Seyfried's name? Is that how you say it? Seyfried? Seyfried?
Close enough for me.
Sure.
She is in Jennifer's body.
Yes, I'm
actually
in Jennifer's body.
She's the she's the girl that makes out with Megan Fox.
Yes,
in that movie. She also makes out with another co-star in a movie called Chloe that's coming out. And she has done an interview where she says, it's interesting the different generations of people. When you kiss the older generation, the movie kiss, there's no tongue. But all of the younger generation... apparently, that line is not drawn.
Interesting.
And the making out is always with the tongue.
Does that include with Megan?
I'm guessing.
I think so, yeah.
So, yes.
Do you have time for the Megan Fox story?
Sure.
Because I know you have this. This is a... I think it ended up on a website, but this is three people who worked with Megan Fox who will not reveal their names because they want to continue to work on Paramount Motion Pictures, but they all had different jobs on both Transformers sets. So they've been working for Michael Bay for years now, and they had some very strong words about what it was like being on a set with Megan Fox.
Well, she did an interview where she told an interviewer about Michael Bay. The director.
Right.
And she said he's like a little Napoleon. He likes to have a Hitler complex. He likes to run things. But when he's away from the set, he's fine. And so in response to that, three of the cast members did an interview on
crew
her.
Crew members, sorry.
Where they said, we worked with Megan Fox. She's dumb as a rock. She's classless. And they just go on and on about how stupid she is. We've had the tedious experience of working with the dumb as a rock Megan Fox on both Transformers movies. We spent 12 months on the set making these two movies, and they say they're in different departments. One of them touches Megan's panties.
That's the job.
That's the job I want. Yeah. I didn't know that that was a job description. The other has the crappy job, not that word, of pulling Miss Sour Pants out of her trailer.
Oh.
Apparently she throws tantrums about not wanting to leave her trailer, or other actors have to leave at a different time with her. I mean, all this stuff.
Isn't she a little young in her career to be doing this?
Well, that's the thing. And
isn't this like her third movie?
And that's what these people who work for Michael Bay is their point is that Michael Bay, you know, whether you like his movies or not, has made dozens of movies.
Right.
He kind of gave her the big break. He
yeah.
has enabled the rest of her career to be possible because of this. You just don't treat people like that, if these people are to be believed. Now, we don't know.
But everyone's forgetting the fact that she's hot.
Well, I know.
So, I'm not looking for a Rhodes Scholar here. I don't
well,
care.
Well, good.
Her job
That's
is
good.
To be hot.
I don't care if she's dumb.
Right.
She's hot, and... heard she's getting an A on that job.
They,
I'm out after that.
They go on to say that they're really looking forward to Transformers 3, and they hope that Megan Fox's character gets crushed to death in the first 10 minutes, because nothing would make the cast and crew happier.
Wow.
So,
wow.
I know. She's still awesome, though, right?
Of course.
I just want to make sure we all
both.
Agree that she's
I
still
hate
awesome.
You both.
No, it's just we need to make up our minds whether they're telling the truth or not, and we say, you lie!
You lie, exactly. All right, today's celebrity birthday. Do you guys remember the, Ryan Sutter, he was the bachelor, or was Trista the bachelorette? They got married on that show and are still married. They're the one success out of the Bachelor franchise.
He's,
I could
king
not have
says Bachelorette.
I could not have less interest in this story, and the king is all over it.
Yes, that is correct.
They are still married, believe it or not, and Ryan is celebrating his 35th birthday.
Yes, me. They are, in fact, still married.
Amy Winehouse, remarkably, has survived another year. She is 26.
I'm Dave, the King of Mexico. This is my business voice.
The original Mr. Chekhov, Walter Koenig, is 73 years old today.
I worked with that guy.
Actor Sam Neill is 62. But the reason we celebrate is our own friend, Beer Mug, ladies and gentlemen. Beer Mug celebrates his birthday today.
Sounds pretty outrageous.
We have to find something gross for him to eat or drink to celebrate his birthday today. Quick break on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll be right back after this with How About an Interview with Green Day, coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Michael Strahan, one of the greatest football players to ever put on the uniform, joining us in just a few minutes here in our New York studios. You guys think he'll have his Super Bowl ring on?
I would.
Really? They wear it all the time, right?
Really?
I'd wear it everywhere I went.
I'm going to see if he'll give it to me.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be so cool.
Good luck with that.
Do that.
Anyway, we saw him on TV talking football last night. He's got an actual sitcom that he's starring in, so we'll talk to the great Michael Strahan coming up. Plus, we're less than 1 hour away from right now with Breakfast with Muse.
We are in New York City, and we are here for the MTV Video Music Awards, which were last night. We got a chance yesterday to catch up with the guys from Green Day.
Now, this is a huge week for you guys, even out of New York, because back home, there are big doings with Green Day music. The play opens this week, right?
Yeah, it opens September 15th is opening night. So it's we saw the previews. They did like a week's worth, and it's really good.
I remember you talking a little bit about it when we did the breakfast with Green Day, but people may not remember. It's actually based on just a ton of your songs all kind of weaved through the play, right?
It's based on American Idiot pretty much all the way through. And then we put in some new songs like 21 Guns, Know Your Enemy, Last Night on Earth, and Before the Lobotomy. And then there's a couple of other songs that were B-sides that never got used for anything. It was a song called Too Much Too Soon and
Favorite Son.
So it's if there's no intermission, they just blast straight through the whole thing.
Okay. Well, how do they perform? Like, is there a band on the stage, or what is it?
Yes.
Yeah, they put together a rock band, two guitar players, a keyboard player, and
bass and drums.
Bass and drums, and there's cello, viola, and violin. So it's a trip. It's cool.
And a variety of singers?
Yeah, there's 19 cast members.
Wow.
So, and there's and it follows these three different stories that kind of happen to these three guys. One guy goes to war. One guy stays at home and sits on the couch for the entire play. And then the main character, Johnny, is sort of loses his mind. So,
were you surprised to see how much goes into staging a musical on a stage versus what the universe that you're generally operating in?
It's insane. Like all the quick changes, and backstage has got to be like a complete mayhem back there, because like it all has to go down live. You don't get a second chance.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It changes every day. Yeah. I mean, it just keeps evolving. They keep making changes. I think even when they have it tight and it goes 3 weeks into it, it's still going to be changing.
How long is the show going to run?
It's about 85 minutes long or something like that.
I meant weeks, months.
Oh.
It's not very long.
Yeah, one show. Right away, yeah.
As long as we can.
It's a one-time deal.
I think it's going through November right now, and we'll see what happens after that.
Is it going to come to Los Angeles by any stretch?
I hope so. It goes to Los Angeles and also goes to come out here on Broadway. So.
And you guys could win a Tony.
Yeah, I got to meet Tony.
Yeah. Did you guys, while they were rehearsing, did somebody jump up and go, no, no, no?
Oh, you mean like in
that? They were showing you the play.
No, no. It was that guy. Maybe that guy did that to Barack Obama.
You lied.
You lied.
Yeah. I was thinking it'd be really cool if Barack just stopped for a second, looked over, and went, "Man, you."
Hey, one more thing. We're sitting with Green Day. If you're just joining us backstage at Radio City Music Hall, since the last time we talked to you, the rock band has come out with some of your songs, and people I know always ask you about this. But do you guys play? Do you like it, or is it distracting to try to play that when you actually play real instruments? It screws you up.
I can't do the drums on it, but it's really the guitar I can do better than the drums for some reason. I'm a drummer, so
yeah, I'm just the opposite. I can't do any of the real stuff, but I can play rock band. It's not very good talent.
I can play them all, but it's really hard to tune them.
All right, last question. What do you guys do when you're in New York City? We've been having a blast in the few days we've been here. Do you have places you like to go or things you like to do in particular when you come to this town?
Yeah, you got to roll to John's Pizza.
John's Pizza on Bleecker. Great.
His favorite.
Oh, I don't know. There's a thousand things to do. Got to go to McSorley's.
Bar,
get a
yep,
couple of pints.
Yep. Yep.
Oldest bar in New York.
Great. Niagara is fun. Also known as Viagra.
Yeah.
Go to Niagara. Go to
Bowery Electric. If you have an erection longer than 4 hours, please consult a physician.
Yeah. And Bowery Electric's a great bar, you know.
All right. I guess we're set. I guess we got to plan that.
Yeah.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, our final day broadcasting live from the greatest city on earth, New York City. Breakfast with Muse in about a half an hour from right now. But, man, what a treat when you're in New York to get one of the all-time great New York athletes, one of America's great athletes. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Michael Strahan joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mike. How are you, man?
I'm great. How are you?
Where's your Super Bowl ring?
It's at home. You know what? I had it on for 2 days, and my fingers started to get fatigued.
We had a long conversation in the studio about whether you'd be wearing it. And I said, if I had a Super Bowl ring, I would always wear it.
You know what? You get it, right? In the first week, you're wearing it around, and then it is heavy.
Yeah.
It's got to be. Let me put it away. I don't want to brag too much. So you put it away for a bit.
That's the difference between you and I.
And then you kind of, not that you forget you have it, but you remember you won the Super Bowl. You remember your Super Bowl champ. But the ring is probably the last thing. You always wanted one. When
can
you
I
get
have
it?
Can I buy it from you?
Hey, are we on? You know, I don't know what I can say on the radio, but you keep asking me, and I'm going to say something they have to beep out.
All, yeah, right. All right.
Heck no. Right. You can't have my ring.
All right. I'm just asking.
Many, many, many. By the way, Michael Strahan, of course, won last year's Super Bowl. You won in one of the great upsets of all time. And and your last game was the Super Bowl.
That was it, man. I realized
that's the way to go.
Out.
Out, man. That, yeah, is, wow. I mean, you couldn't write a story any better than 15 great years and then go out on the biggest high of all.
Yeah, if you'd have wrote it in the way that we won, like defensively the way we played, and Eli Manning, clumsy Eli getting out of a sack, David Tyree catching the ball off his helmet, you could have wrote that and they wouldn't have picked it
up. Yeah, they would say,
this is too unreal.
It's not believable. Yeah. They wouldn't, yeah.
Years ago, we went to Howie Long's house. Kevin and I did. What did Howie Long's house? And we asked him the same question because everybody wants to see a Super Bowl ring, right? Because regular guys never get to see stuff like that. And he took us in. Remember, he had it in his sock drawer.
Sock drawer, yeah.
He left it in his sock drawer. That's where he kept it.
He was wearing it yesterday.
Was he on the set?
He had it on the set. He had one on. I had mine on. Jimmy had his on. Terry has four.
Right.
But he doesn't wear them. I think
I'd wear them all in the same hand.
I would too. But Terry dedicated. He gave his to his, I think, college. His alma mater.
Is that right?
Oh. Yeah. I mean, he didn't graduate, so he gave him the rings for a degree.
You traded him in?
I traded him.
By the way, I was watching you guys on the Fox show last night and in the recap. And Terry at one point was talking about Brett Favre and that he did all he needed to do to win that game yesterday. It wasn't a game that Brett Favre had to do amazing theatrical things yesterday.
Yep.
Just basically stay out of trouble, right? And Terry at one point said, I could have done what he did. I could go in now and do what he did. Is he one of those guys who still thinks he could play?
Of course. We all do.
Really?
But you know what?
But Terry's like 60, right?
Terry does believe he could play. Howie doesn't. I think Howie's realized that if he took one, Howie said, if somebody knocked me on the ground or if I fell, I just curl up in a fetal position and suck on my thumb. He told me that yesterday. But Terry believes he can still do it. I can play.
Well, could you
Terry
could because you just retired.
Yeah.
But Terry's been out 25 years,
I know. Well, Terry, everybody's, oh, I could play if I didn't get hit. Well, that's the point of the game. You got to get hit so you can play.
Lisa could play if you didn't get hit.
Exactly.
How did you know it was, I mean, it was a great way to go out, but how did you know? Did your body let you know that you didn't have one more in you?
Oh, my body was fine. My body feels great. If my mind, you know,
what do you mean?
Because, man, I was tired.
Yeah.
It was great. I had the best time of my life being around the guys jumping around, you know, stomping out and screaming and hollering. But when we won the Super Bowl, it was like all the pressure was gone. Like I'm saying, if it were 12 years, I would have said, oh, man, let me challenge myself. 15? What more do I have prove to myself? That was enough.
Were you planning on retiring anyway, or did that just seem like the greatest opportunity?
That was the greatest opportunity. Had we not won the Super Bowl, I would have considered, because we got so close,
right,
to say, okay, maybe with this team we can win another one.
Right.
But, you know, it's kind of like knowing that you don't go out and ask a girl for a telephone number and then you get it and then you keep talking to her. You move on, man.
Right.
Don't let her get too much of you on that first time you meet her. You got the number, keep moving. I got the ring, I kept it moving.
Now, all of those great years and all those Pro Bowls and everything else with the Giants, now that you're an analyst, do you have to be even-handed, or do you still find yourself rooting against the Eagles and the Redskins and those teams that you kind of grew to hate all those years you were playing?
You know, now I think in my second, then going on my second season on the show, the hate has lessened. So I really,
you can be objective now.
Yeah, I can be objective now, and I really just want to see good football, and I really want to see good guys win. You know,
because you still got a lot of friends playing. Because
I have
so
a ton of friends.
Bunch of people,
yeah, so yeah. I'm watching, say, the Eagles yesterday, and I see Donovan McNabb. The Eagles are playing well. And then I see Donovan Hurts is his rib, and I'm like, oh, man, he's a good buddy of mine.
Yeah.
You know, Tony Romo is such a nice guy to see him win yesterday with all the pressure on him, and Jason Garrett, who played with the Giants. So you kind of intertwine with all these different teams. But if there's a guy who's a jerk on a team, oh, I hope they get beat every week.
I'm sorry for not knowing this, but did you ever get injured that early in the season? That has to be such a bummer to get hurt in the first game.
You know what? The worst thing ever happened to me, the last preseason game, I hyperextended one elbow, and then the first game of the season, I hyperextend the other elbow.
Oh, man.
And then later on, I did both the AC joints in my shoulders, and I had to suffer through the year.
You just play, right?
Just play. Yeah. They give you some stuff to help you play, but you get out there and you play. You do it the best you can. But that was the most miserable year of football I ever had.
Do you ever get through a season without something?
No. No,
never.
You barely get through a day without anything.
So you're always playing injured.
Always.
100% of the time.
Always 100% wow. of the time. You always have something wrong. I mean, just you have to devise special ways to tape whatever hurts, your ankles, your fingers, your wrists, or whatever, and you just deal with it.
Right.
And, you know, that's the unique thing about football. And I know there are no guaranteed contracts, because if there were guaranteed contracts, I guarantee you a lot of guys probably wouldn't play every Sunday.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
right.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Are you surprised to find yourself a football analyst on television now, or is that something you always planned on post-playing?
Just happened. It just happened.
Just happened.
When I grew up in Germany, man. I didn't play football to my senior year of high school, so I got one scholarship to Texas Southern University, and I took that because my dad said it's free and you're taking it.
Whether you want to or not.
Yeah. So I took that, and when I'm in college, I was thinking about being the best at what, you know, in college, just trying to figure out how football worked because I really didn't know. Then I got drafted, and 15 years here, I don't know how I lasted, and then they asked me about doing the commentary, and I said, great, and it just moved on from there.
So you played for 5 years total before? Before you were a pro?
No, I was in college for four, you know.
Right, but then 1 year high school. High school.
Oh, 1 year high school, yeah. No, the 1 year in high school, I wasn't playing. I was horrible.
Really?
I don't consider that playing.
So somebody saw natural ability.
Out there being a whipping child. Either that or they just needed some bodies for the team. Nobody else wanted to play.
Either way, you were happy to do it.
So you've had an entire career in football that was an accident to you. That was not something you ever planned on.
Yeah, kind of like where I was born. I was an accident to my parents. I'm joking. At least they never told me that, mom, dad, or something you want to tell me.
It also seems unreal that any one player these days would spend his whole career on
yeah.
one team.
You know what? And that was important to me, too, because there were some opportunities sometimes when I didn't know if I was going to stay here in New York. But, you know, behind it all, I definitely wanted to stay here, because there's no city like New York. You know, the greatest city in the world when you win, and they're hard on you when you're not winning, which makes you want to win for them.
All right. We have to take a break. We got Michael Strahan here, and that's going to lead us into what we'll talk about when we come back. Are you filming your new TV show in L.A.?
Yeah.
How's that for an adjustment, huh?
It's big time.
All right.
Man.
We want to talk about that. We want to hear all about the show. It is called Brothers, and it premieres on Friday, September 25th at 8 o'clock on Fox. More with our guest, Michael Strahan, right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, just 20 minutes away from our breakfast with Muse. Talk about a special treat here in New York. The great Michael Strahan is in our studio. The 15 seasons with the New York Giants Super Bowl winner. Michael Strahan is here, who's now, of course, on the Fox NFL broadcast and is getting ready to stretch even further with a new show called Brothers, premiering Friday, September 25th at 8 on Fox. You are begging to be mocked if you're an athlete going into television as an actor.
You said stretching, I just pulled a hamstring.
That is tough to win people over. There is not a long list of athletes who have made that successful transformation. Why did you want to attempt that? You don't need to do it.
I don't need to do it, man, but it's a challenge. It's fun. It's fun. It's a funny show. It's comedy. You can't beat that. And I think in the past, the guys have done it. But it's been almost a different era, in a sense. You know, recently, in this newer era, no one has really tried to do it. I think probably one of the hardest things about it is just the perception, to get past the perception. Because most people feel if you're good at one thing, like you guys are great on the radio, but you shouldn't be on TV.
Yeah, we
and
know that.
Right.
That
is true,
no.
Actually.
I'm not talking about the way you look. I mean, that's obvious. But I'm talking about just the perception. Say you wanted to do TV, pick an audio on the radio.
Right.
You're successful at that. So I think when people say, oh, he's a successful athlete and he's an analyst, he should just stick with that.
Right.
It's almost like you don't want too many good things to happen to somebody.
Uh-huh.
And I think you have to fight against that. But you know, if it's something that's fun, if it's something you can do, and if it works out, then, you know, I'm willing to try it. And I think it's a great show and been a great experience. And
well, you got some great actors on the show with you, which helps. Yeah. You're not out there having to carry it, because CCH Pounder, who's an unbelievable actress.
Great.
She's on The Shield all those years.
Yeah.
Yep. She's your mom on the show. By the way, I love that that you're playing a former NFL star named Mike.
Yeah,
I
mean, you know what?
How do you do it?
That is a stretch.
You know, the hardest thing about it, like, everyone's, oh, he's playing an NFL player named Mike. That's not the hardest thing to do is try to be, which I'm not on this show, but to try to be yourself. Because I actually have to tone my personality down, because my brother on the show, Daryl Chill Mitchell,
Another great actor, by the way.
He has to be the funny one. I mean, I'm funny, but I got to be the toned down brother, the more serious brother, and he has to play off me. Then we have Carl Weathers from Rocky fame.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Apollo Creed, who is dad. And it's a great cast. We have a lot of fun, and I just don't want to mess up. So that's why I work hard, so that I'm not screwing it up for them, because they're so good.
That is one advantage you have coming from your background, is you're used to being part of a team, and you're used to massive preparation before a game day. So
yeah,
you're prepared when you show up, I guess.
Yeah, and looking at playbooks and stuff like that, my memory, and just to look at lines and remember lines and be able to get through everything. I remember everybody's stuff. And to be able to change on the fly and, like, react to stuff has really helped. But I have a great appreciation for actors. I tell you that. Just the doing this. And realize it's a serious talent to be able to act the way that a lot of these actors
and to make it look easy.
And that's the thing. Yeah. Is the good ones make it look like it's anyone could do it, and everybody watches and they go, I can do that.
Imagine somebody in all these different movies, and you believe they're each character that they are, and they're not the person, because you do know that person for
that's
the
right.
most part.
Right.
And that takes a great deal of talent, and so I really appreciate that, and hopefully, you know, I can. Yes, make people laugh and watch.
How many of these are you doing this season, and how many
have
you done?
Well, we're doing 13 so far, and then we'll see where we go from there. Hopefully pick up the 9 on the back end. But we have the pilot and 5 others in the can already, so we have 7 more to go so far.
This is the type of thing you don't want to limit yourself. You'll just see where it takes you. I mean, you could end up, who knows, you could be the next Boz, man.
Who knows? You never know.
The next Boz.
Next Boz.
What
exactly.
does that even mean?
But, you know, I think the transition, though, from, like,
remember
athlete,
the Raider, Kevin, who did all those action movies?
Oh, you remember
movies?
Boz? Brian that Bosworth. University of Oklahoma?
Brian Bosworth? Bosworth?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
But I think the thing is, now, I think people are more receptive to it, because you look at a guy like The Rock.
Yeah, great example.
Right.
Great example.
You look at even Will Smith. What was Will Smith before? Parents don't understand. He's a rapper. He's on
That's
the Fresh
true.
Prince of Bel-Air. So I think people are more receptive to it, because, you know, if you're talented and you can do it, then they'll accept it. If you're no good, then they won't.
That's right.
So it's more on me than it is on anybody else.
I agree. I'd like to talk to you after 13 episodes there.
Exactly.
Just make sure that's still your story.
It sounds funny.
My story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
And if it doesn't work out, the writer's horrible.
But if they're listening right now, they're great. September 25th, it debuts on Fox. Hey, we had a story that came out over the weekend that I wanted to ask you about, Michael, and that is, you know, all the players have their iPods, and they get pumped up before they head out onto the field, right?
Uh-huh.
They all got stuff that they listen to. Mark Sanchez, who debuted as quarterback for the Jets yesterday, his brother gave an interview to one of the newspapers and said, oh, you know what's on my brother's iPod? He listens to Billy Joel, Elton John, and what was it?
That light rock singer, James
Taylor.
Taylor.
That's what's on his iPod before he goes out there to play. I couldn't even imagine that.
You know what?
What was on yours?
I can't lie to you and tell you, I love James Taylor. I mean, and Billy Joel, great. Elton John, all
but
of those.
But would you listen to that to get pumped up for a game?
They're all great, but that's not game day
music.
That's
not game day music, right?
I mean, he may wear G-string under his pants. I don't know. Because that's not game day music. I love Mark Sanchez. He's doing a great job for the Jets.
Yep.
You know, but
that's not game
that's
day
not
music.
Game day music. You can, you know, like for me, if I wanted to, like, mellow out, because you can't get too pumped up, I would do a little R&B. Yeah.
Sure.
Know? But for the most part, before you go out there, oh, it's strictly somebody's cursing on something, man. Somebody's cursing on something, man, threatening to kill somebody. I got to have it.
who do you love that's fairly new and exciting in the game right now? It seems like there's been a really good crop of players, but there's also been a bunch of players lately that have come out of college with such high hopes that haven't panned out, too.
Yeah.
Well, like Matt Leinart.
Perfect example.
Plays for the Cardinals. Doesn't play for the Cardinals, I mean. He's on the Cardinals, but he doesn't play.
It's safer that way.
Yeah.
You know what? I look at a guy like Matt Ryan down in Atlanta playing really well. Even Joe Flacco in Baltimore, two young quarterbacks, played really well last year. I'm excited to see Sanchez.
Yeah.
I really am, because I think – in this city, they're excited. The Jets needed that. I mean, the city needed that because you have Eli Manning on the Giants, already won that Super Bowl. That's a great team.
Right.
And I would like to see the Jets come up and challenge them in the city. I think it'll only make both people, both teams better.
Well, do us a favor. If you interview Sanchez, you have to ask him about his game day music.
I'm just going to ask him, what are you wearing under those pants?
Was it a mistake for the Jets to try Brett Favre last year?
And, you know, I can't say it was a mistake. I think it was a experiment they felt was worth taking. But I don't think Brett Favre ever really wanted to be in New York. If you, when you saw the mayor who 1 second hands in the Giants, like giving us a parade and so proud to be a Giants fan, the next second he's like so proud to be a Brett Favre fan, handing him a street sign. I'm like, come on, man, make up your mind.
Right.
You know, you're but Brett Favre looked so uncomfortable accepting that. You know, it just, this is just not his type of situation. I think ultimately he wanted to be where he is right now, which is in Minnesota.
Yeah, and he couldn't do it last year.
And he couldn't do it last year.
That's right, because his team wouldn't let that happen. Right.
Yeah, so he ended up where he wanted to be, and we'll see how that pans out.
I don't know how well you know him, but what makes him impossible? What makes it so impossible for him to finally walk away for good?
Well, it's not just him. I think for a lot of guys, I was fortunate, and I think Brett will be fortunate enough to end it when you want to end it. And for a lot of guys, that doesn't happen. And even though I retired when I wanted to, it was still a tough adjustment to go, oh, man, I'll never strap those pants on and be around the guys anymore. And it's an addictive lifestyle. It's addictive to be around guys and just have fun. You never really have to grow up. And,
is it still that way for you? Or you've
No. I don't miss these dudes at all anymore. You know,
no, I mean, on game day, do you go, hey, I wish I was playing?
No, I love the guys. I still text the guys all the time. I talk to them all the time. OC's like my little brother, and Tuck and Tollison, all these guys I still talk to over there at the Giants, Antonio Pierce. So I'm still connected, and then being on his show keeps me connected.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Brett Favre is the guy who wants to do TV.
Right.
And if he didn't, what is he going to do? Sit on a farm in Mississippi?
Well,
I don't know how exciting that is.
That was my theory, is the reason he keeps coming back is because every time he retires, he goes back to Mississippi, and then he's on the farm for like 2 months, and he goes, Mississippi blows. I got to get out of here, honey. I'm going back to work. Maybe he ought to find a better place to retire to. It might not seem such a bad idea.
You know what? You may be on to something.
Well, you are you're living the dream, Michael. I'm telling you, and you're a great guy, and we couldn't be happier to see all the success you've had and all the new things you're trying. I hope the show goes great for you.
Thank you.
It really sounds like it's very funny. I mean, what a great cast to be working with.
It's a great cast. It's very funny. There are a limited amount of gap tooth jokes. Don't worry. It's not like, oh, you got a big old gap. No, it's not like that. Actually, it's great writing, and it's a really, really funny show about family and grown kids living at home with their parents, which in this economy, I'm sure we got more than...
Happening a lot.
Yeah, happening a lot.
You do the NFL Sunday in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, we do that in L.A.
Because we do our show in Los Angeles, and it seems like... You know.
What are you saying, Kevin?
Maybe we should hook up again, you know.
Oh, I'd love to, man.
Okay.
I'll come by and see you guys.
Come on down. Great to see you anytime you want. Brothers is the show. It debuts Friday night, September 25th at 8 on Fox. Michael Strahan stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show.
Woohoo! Kevin and Bean, baby. This is what you got to do. This is where to be.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show for a couple more hours live from New York. By the way, I think we're going to be saying goodbye to our webcast viewers who have been enjoying the program for the last couple of days. No cameras allowed at Breakfast with Muse, so we're going to be saying goodbye. So if you are actually watching the show right now, thanks for checking that out. Nothing more boring than watching guys talk. But we'll be disconnecting this camera at the end of the show, BizBeat, and then you want to just switch over if you're listening online, or even better, on the radio, if you want to hear Breakfast with Muse. Our questions, listener questions, and live performances from the band that's coming up. First, though, Ralph has the day off. Everybody is talking about the biggest showbiz story is that Kanye is a dick.
Yep. Exactly right.
Lisa texted that to me last night during the MTV Video Music Awards within about 15 seconds of Kanye leaving stage. She texted me, Kanye is a dick.
He does stuff like this all the time. If you haven't heard, he rushed the stage, grabbed the microphone, and, you know, gives a speech, impromptu speech. But this particular time, it was rough.
Poor Taylor Swift. Beautiful, talented, poised, articulate 19-year-old Taylor Swift, who really has worked very hard to win this award from MTV, was on stage, had barely begun to give her acceptance speech when Kanye grabs the mic and expressed his views that Beyonce should have won in that category. Now, who cares who Kanye thinks should have won in that category?
No one asked.
No one asked,
no.
Right?
Mm-mm.
Beyonce did end up winning Video of the Year for that Single Ladies song, but no one cares whether Kanye approved of the choice.
Guys, I have to apologize. I,
I did ask that.
And poor Taylor. Here's the other thing. She's a country music singer. Right. She's so out of place there.
Yes.
She is not at all comfortable. I mean, she even kind of made a reference to that. That
right, right.
That's not where she belongs, really. And
she never expected
so
to win a VMA.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And then that happens.
She did freeze afterwards, though, for about 30 seconds.
But now, as Kevin said, Kanye has done this before. And we went back to the tape. And I guess I missed this at the time. But even last week when President Obama was given the speech at the joint session of Congress, listen to this. Apparently Kanye was there, too.
The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegal.
I'm going to let you finish, but Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
What?
Not true.
Not true.
That's just not appropriate to interrupt the president.
The president disagrees.
Taylor Swift.
Wow, is he a dick.
Anyway, it's just crazy. In case you care, by the way, and there's almost no more meaningless award in show business than an MTV Video Music Award, but in case you care, Beyonce did win for Video of the Year. Best Male Video went to T.I. featuring Rihanna with Live Your Life. T.I., of course, strangely unavailable for the ceremony last night because he in jail.
Yeah.
Taylor won for Best Female Video for her song You Belong With Me. Best Pop Video was Britney Spears' Womanizer. By the way, did anyone see her acceptance speech?
I saw that she was doing it from some other place.
Yeah, she was on tour, so she was backstage. Man, did she talk fast. What was she on?
I don't know. She started dancing around.
She was pretty geeked up.
Yeah, she looked good, though.
Very little rock on the program last night. Muse, of course, performed, and they were terrific. Best Rock Video Award went to Green Day, 21 Guns, which was a song they did not perform on the show last
right,
night. They did
correct.
Something else. It brought a ton of people on the stage with them. It was great. Eminem won for We Made You. He did not seem happy to be there. Lady Gaga won Best New Artist for Poker Face.
Yeah.
Huh.
That performance was troubling. I did not enjoy that.
She sounded good.
Yeah, she has an amazing voice.
She does, actually. I was really impressed.
But she should leave the mask on.
Yeah.
A. And B, I don't need to see her hanging from the rafters with blood.
Blood on everybody, right. Best Breakthrough Video was Matt and Kim, a song called Lessons Learned. And here's the new award that they're giving now. And tell me what you guys think about this. They're now giving out an award each year, and they did this on the pre-show, for the best video that should have won a Moon Man.
I saw that, and I didn't understand it.
Why don't they just, if it deserves an award, why don't they give it to
and
it?
That's prior to the awards.
And so all of the songs were old videos that had never won a Moon Man. And it will shock you when I tell you that they selected the Beastie Boys' Sabotage.
What?
Which is one of the greatest videos in MTV's history. How did it not win a Moon Man at the time it was nominated?
Well, I'm glad they went back and got that. Then that one makes sense.
It's not like the Beastie Boys were there.
Right.
They
right.
just stood there and did it
and
then
on the
moved on.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a new category, I guess. Imagine if they did that with all the shows. If they came out and they said, hey, we never gave... John Denver, Grammy, come on back, John.
For the Academy Awards, frankly.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So anyway, that was the MTV Video Music Awards.
One other quick story, my favorite one. Natalie Portman has done an interview in the September issue of Interview Magazine where she said she loves rap music with cursing in it. She loves it, loves it, loves it. And apparently Ghostface Killah from Wu-Tang Clan heard it and is saying, give them a call. New lead singer Wu-Tang, Natalie Portman.
Nice.
I'd like to see that happen.
Yes.
Back to you, B.
Breakfast with Muse coming up next. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Sam Neill is 62. Actor Dan Cortez, 42 today. Walter Koenig, one of the Star Trek survivors from the original franchise. He was Mr. Chekhov, is 73 years old today. The lead singer of A-ha, talking about great MTV videos. Take On Me was their big video that won Video of the Year. The year it was out. He turns 50 today. Rapper Nas is 35. And the guy who married the Bachelorette, Ryan Sutter. They are still married and have kids. The only successful hookup.
I believe so.
In the history of the Bachelor or Bachelorette series. Out of dozens of shows, the only one where they got married and stayed married.
I'm surprised there's one.
Is 35 years old today. And that is the Showbiz Beat.
It's Kevin and Beans. Breakfast.
You'd be like a big breakfast machine.
With Muse. In Manhattan,
New York.
Well, you guys know us. He's Kevin and I'm Bean. Please say hello to Muse.
Hey.
How about Muse?
Hello there.
Look, I know you guys have been around for a long, long time, and you played a lot of very small crowds. This has to be among the smallest group that you've ever played for.
Yeah, it's got
to
be one of the best crowds, though, surely.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I'm antisocial, and I've had more people at a dinner party than we have here for Breakfast with Muse. This is crazy.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, there you go.
Well, it's great to see you guys again. It's been a number of years since we had you on the Kevin and Bean Show. I couldn't believe it when they said last night that it was your first ever American television appearance on the MTV show last night. Like,
yeah,
how is that
true.
Possible, as popular as you've been for so long?
Yeah,
spent a lot of time just touring in the States, you know, just going around, playing to lots of people and going to lots of different cities.
multiple times. Strange, yeah, strange that we've never done this, but cool.
But makes it all the more cool. It wasn't by choice. You didn't have a no TV edict or anything like that.
Oh, nothing like that. No, we do loads of stuff over in Europe, you know, loads of TV stuff. But I think, yeah, it's just like, it seemed like this is a good album to start opening things up a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Just on this one?
Yeah, just really? This one. Yeah, from now on, yeah.
All right.
Well, it's a big week for y'all. Of course, the record comes out around much of the world today and then the rest of the world tomorrow on Tuesday. And it's called The Resistance. And you've been working on it a long time. Do you feel like you're... is this the giving birth part of your job where you go, all right, we're about to unleash it to the world? I know people have heard some of it online, but now it's out there for reals for people to buy.
Yeah, it's you know, it's an exciting time when you're releasing an album for sure, but it's a bit kind of weird because you've been working on these songs for so long in the studio, and we like produced it by ourselves as well in our own studio. So, you know, when we're working on an album, the doors are like locked to everyone apart from the three of us and, you know, an engineer or something. So, you know, and you get so close to the songs and you're working on them and they're evolving all the time, and then all of a sudden you've got to like let them all go into like.
How do you know
other people's hands? You know, so it's a bit strange. But
how do you guys are kind of perfectionists? How do you know when it's time to stop tinkering? I mean,
in the studio, you mean?
Yeah.
I think some of the songs we started off actually. Uprising was actually the first song we recorded on the new album because we thought that was a track that we were most comfortable playing live, so we could just play it and it just happened. Some of the other tracks though were more complicated, and so some of the tracks, especially the ending, like Exogenesis, got loads of strings on it. There were so many kind of layers of the composition, so much going on that just getting it done was it. You know, like just getting it done took ages anyway. So we didn't really have much time to sort of redo things or much time to overthink things. You know, we just kind of got on with it, basically.
So this is a first take, is what you're telling us.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, good. Talk about the album cover for a second, because I've seen the images, and it looks like someone threw up on the Epcot Center. Would you say that's an accurate description?
That sounds pretty accurate to me. Yeah, that's his department.
It's
artwork,
much it? More lovely than a pile of what, puke on the floor.
should I know what it is? Is it supposed to represent something, or does it somehow tie into the Resistance?
Dom, tell us, what's it about?
Let's see. Well, we got an artist to work on it called Laboka, which is a guy called... Sam, who is really cool, but I see it as when you actually get the sleeve, there's another piece of artwork on the inside of the booklet that's kind of similar in a circle with another little man walking down the little yellow brick road, which is what it looks like. They're kind of like almost brackets to Exogenesis in some kind of weird way. I mean, it certainly looks cool, but you know, Exogenesis is a kind of a song, you know, about, you know, someone leaving a planet to go and, like, find a new planet to go and, like, you know, start a new civilization somewhere. And like, which is kind of some weird sci-fi.
That's always happens.
It's some weird, like, sci-fi fantasy, you know?
And that's what you get.
The front cover is kind of, it almost looks like a bit of a weird portal to the Earth, you know what I mean? But it looks like someone's
about to go on some kind of journey.
Yeah, exactly.
Into space or
kind of leaving, potentially, and looking back at the Earth. And then the other piece of artwork I'm talking about, which is inside the cover, which kind of brackets it, is almost someone discovering this whole new world and kind of running towards it. So it kind of
you
makes
have
a bit more sense.
So much more going on than me. Like, I recognize a lot of those words. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, let's go with it. Go with it.
Matt sounded like he was asking you questions. He doesn't understand it. I'm not sure what's happening.
Well, it's a long ways from Boy Meets Girl, isn't it? Your music.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, did you guys forgive my ignorance? Did you guys invent the word exogenesis, or is that something that actually means what you describe?
I think it's out there. That's out there. It's panspermia is the other word. It's like, basically, it's a word that describes...
I'm sorry, what was the other word?
Panspermia.
Believe it or not. Those in the back, panspermia.
Yeah, there you go. Exogenesis is the more sort of the alternative word for that same word. Basically means like the idea that life is something that is not just restricted to this planet. Yeah.
Right now, there are CBS lawyers frantically looking up panspermia to see if we're allowed to say it on the radio. So, all right, it's Breakfast with Muse. We are here in New York City. The album comes out on tomorrow, as we mentioned. We're going to take a quick break. The guys are going to be performing for us here today. I don't know if that's okay with the assembly here, but if you'll allow it, we'll do that, and we'll include some of your questions when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
Are you ready for breakfast?
You ready?
Oh, good.
Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Muse in Manhattan,
New York.
It is Breakfast with Muse. We are in New York City. We've got about, I don't know, 15 listeners, 16? That's about it.
We'd have more, but our station was too cheap to fly any more than this to New York City. I think you could tell. But we are here with the guys in Muse who have an enormous 2009 planned, including playing Giant Stadium in just a very few days, opening for U2, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But first, we're going to go out to the audience. King of Mexico is here with us. You're in the crowd. Who's our first question for Breakfast with Muse?
I got Mono Lee here.
Mono Lee, welcome.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hello there.
I was wondering, what's the weirdest thing a fan has ever done for you?
Oh. Is there a part B to this that we should be worried about?
She wants to know what she needs to do to beat it.
I had a fan in Russia who painted a picture of me naked with a crow on my shoulder.
Yes.
That's pretty far out.
Pretty far out.
Slightly creepy.
Creepy as well, yeah.
Did you did the fan present the picture to you?
They presented to me and said, look what I've done. Uh-huh. A picture of me. I looked a bit like Uncle Festo or something. It wasn't a good look. It was a very
privates?
Vibe.
Did she interpret your privates as accurately?
I've had my man ever since. Dom's kept it. I think he's put it on his wall. He's got it every time I go to his house.
The creepier thing is I found it in my house the other day.
Oh, wow.
It's still hanging around.
Dom has it in his bedroom wall, you know.
But one day you'll have a garage sale and you'll be glad that you still have it, right?
All right, Dave, who's next?
I got Ramon.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Why did you call the album The Resistance?
The Resistance. The album kind of plays with... I've been living in London and Italy for a while, and when I was in London, there's loads of these protests going on, the G20 protests.
Sure, right.
And it was going on right outside my flat, pretty much, so I got to see it all. And I got to see all these kind of people dressed up in silly costumes and sort of, you know, going to the House of Parliament with, you know, with sort of, you know, basically a revolution, but having fun at the same time, you know, like I quite like that approach, so I wanted to sort of make the album themed around the idea of revolution and resistance, you know, and the album sort of flips between various different ways of going about resistance, whether it be like a peaceful resistance, whether it be a violent resistance or whatever.
Were you annoyed at first by the sound and the people and everything else, or were you
I was into it, you know. Yeah, because like, yeah, you get used to it, because I live by the American embassy and there's protests there every week.
Sure.
And why not?
Years that's an okay place to be, some years not so much. Are you guys politically involved at all, or do you ever make a statement for or against things back home or around the world?
I'm not really that political. I mean, I try to make a few statements within the music, but I'm not a sort of activist, or I'm not a person that talks about things outside of the music. I like to try and filter into the music if possible, you know.
Sure, I understand. Take us back to the, if you would, since a lot of people are kind of, more people discover Muse every time you put out a new record, and you're going to get a whole lot of new fans with this new record, I'm sure, but, you know, people may not be aware you've been around for years and years and years. You've been playing together since you're practically 13 years old, which is so astonishing to me that you could find musical soulmates that would all grow in the same direction and nobody would lose interest or decide they want to go get a quote-unquote real job. What's been the glue that's kept you together all this time?
I think we've just, you know, from a very young age, we all played in bands.
Chris in a different band, Matt was in my band, and we gradually got together just because I think we all saw that it was only the three of us out of all those people that had like quite a, you know, a real love for music and a real ambition to make music. And I guess we just saw that from an early age. I'm sure we weren't very good when we first started, you know, but I think we tried hard, you know. It was pretty bad.
But how do, I mean, I think his question has
I think it's because we're almost like brothers because we've known each other for so long.
Right.
Since we're about 12, 13.
Got to be a lot of fights.
And you go through all sorts of ups and downs, and all, everyone's gone through loads of
Gallagher brother moments, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're plenty in the studio as well. But yeah, I mean, basically, we've all been through loads of personal changes and we've all helped each other through those things, you know, and we've all grown up together, basically. So I think
especially to get to the kind of music that you're recording now, which none of you could have even imagined 15 years ago. The fact that you all are still comfortable and that's the direction that you're going is a real testament to
I think also because we're close friends, I think that means when we're in the studio we're kind of having fun, we're not taking it too seriously, so therefore we can try things that other people probably would be a little bit afraid to try, you know. So
do you have blow-ups? Do you I'm gone for the day, I can't take you two.
Me and Dom have plenty of blow-ups. And then Chris steps in.
All right.
No one messes with Chris because he's twice the size of us.
I noticed that. I'm a little intimidated just sitting here.
It's easy when you're a three-piece because, you know, it's always two against one.
Oh, that's so true.
But your democracy works.
That's right. You get two votes.
It's usually me against Dom.
Member, you know?
It's usually me against Dom or Dom against me, and then Chris steps in and resolves it.
All right.
You know, back to the early days then. So tell me about this small town where you guys grew up, because I've never heard of it except when it's referred to. Is it famous for anything other than, hey, here's where Muse is from?
I don't think it is.
You can get sticks of rock there. You know sticks of rock?
No.
Sweet, what do you call them?
Whatever. Candy.
Candy sticks, long candy sticks, where it's got the town name written in it.
I don't think we have those here.
They make very good candy sticks where we come from.
Okay. So there's candy sticks, and then there's Muse. Is it the kind of town where there's not a lot for teenagers to do?
There's nothing really for teenagers when we're growing up. You get a lot of skaters and people in bands who are just sort of doing that to keep themselves occupied, really. You know, that's kind of where the kind of scene we were growing up in.
Was it tough to find places to play?
Yeah, it's pretty impossible, really. I mean, there's a few pubs and places like that, but it was all full of old people. So, we go and play there once or twice, and they never ask us to go back. So, I think there's maybe one venue in the whole of, you know, in a 50-mile radius or something.
Most bands have to start doing some cover songs or something else, you know, to kind of get their foot in the door. Did you ever have to do that?
Well, the bands we were in before we got together were covers bands. You know,
all of them.
Playing various types of covers, you know.
What is the song that we would least expect you guys to have played?
When I was 13, I was in a band that actually played Black or White by Michael Jackson.
Wow!
So that would be, imagine, a bit of a surprise. Maybe.
And then you joined my band.
And then I joined his band, which is a lot cooler. They were playing like Sonic Youth songs, right? And stuff. Yeah.
We did some, a weird one was High Speed Dirt by Bloody Megadeth. That was a pretty strange.
Well, it may be time, you know, the tour coming up this year, maybe time to dust some of those off, you know?
We always throw a few riffs in, actually. I mean, people who come to our gigs, they always notice we always throw like a Rage riff or a Deftones riff or something like that every now and again just to keep the kids bouncing.
That's awesome. It's Breakfast with Muse, by the way. We're going to take another quick break here. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. The boys will be playing again when we return, and we've got more of your questions as well. This is pretty awesome, by the way. And we'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Show and our Breakfast with Muse continues.
Don't forget The Resistance, the new album comes out tomorrow. You're lame if you don't get it. I think that's what I'm officially going to go on record as saying here, because it is awesome.
Well, the guys, Muse are one of those bands where you don't have to love it. I do, but you have to listen to it. You have to check it out because it is, it's not like you're going to get that anywhere else.
No, it is different. In fact, even you guys being into it and writing and creating that music have to wonder sometimes if you've pushed it too far, you know? Because... well, at some point, it gets into parody.
Yeah. I think we were always treading on that line. I think we quite like that line. You know, we quite like that line between is this over the top or is it, you know, is it just right? But I think it depends what mood you're in when you're listening to the music. You know, like if you sit down and like someone just blasts an opera at you, you know, you'll probably think it sounds ridiculous or you laugh at it. But if you're in the mood and you're there in the place, it makes sense. You know, so it depends what mood you're in when you're hearing some of the songs. Some of the songs when you hear them for the first time, they all sound very, you know, very extreme, almost over the top. You know, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, that's what we do.
Are there some that you left off because you went, that's a little too far that direction?
Well, I think, I mean, I'm surprised Exogenesis got on, to be honest.
Yeah, okay. That's
all right. Put it that way.
I don't say it's just over the top. It's just, you know, it's just deep.
Yeah.
You know, it's deep a journey. Man. It's a journey rather than just being, like, overindulgent. I mean, it certainly doesn't feel like that's what we're, the kind of music we're making when we're creating music in the studio. But, I mean, a lot of the time the songs evolve a lot and we normally put a lot of things on them just because, not because we're trying too hard, it's just that, you know, that's what we like to do. Lots of different instruments and lots of different parts and be very ambitious with them, but normally we'd kind of take things away towards the end of the recording process anyway and strip it back a bit.
Right. But I thought when I've seen you before that you're really just mocking all the bands that are out there with eight members when you're making so much noise and you're so big with just the three of you, and occasionally you'll get a little help from a sideman on stage.
But it's
unbelievable how loud and how much you can generate with just you scrawny little Englishmen.
Well, there you go. Yeah, it's got big souls in little bodies. Little big man, is that the term?
Big man, yeah, sure.
Before we go back out to the audience, here's a Facebook question from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Sylvia writes in. She wants to know, especially with the giant stadium gig right around the corner opening for U2, what are your feelings on playing huge football stadium crowds versus small intimate crowds? Do you like them both? Or
love it.
Yeah, we really enjoy it because you know, some of our music actually works really well in that kind of environment, big environment, you know, because some of the songs, like, you want to get the crowd clapping along or singing along with you, you know, so that always feels better in a sort of sports arena or a football thing. But, you know, I like little gigs as well. I mean, this is quite good. It's difficult to get sound right in little venues.
Right.
That's the main thing I don't like about it. But when the sound's good, little venues can be great as well because it's more intimate.
Difficult to get the sound good in bigger venues too? Because I've seen a lot of bands.
Actually, that is true. Actually, that is very difficult.
Do you guys write picturing yourselves on a big, in front of a big crowd in mind? Because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of...
I think some songs. I think that Uprising, the bit where in the middle we can hear a bunch of football hooligans going, oi. You know, the bit going, oi. Yeah, that bit there was written with the idea that all the crowds are going
to
be...
Did you employ some real hooligans to record that?
Yep. we've got a couple working with us on tour who came to the studio and got rowdy.
Bean mentioned you're going to open for U2. Tell us about how that came about. Well, is it nine dates? Is it?
Yeah, I think something it's about like 10, nine. Maybe 9 or 10, something like that, across mainly East Coast, isn't it? It goes down to Florida, then a little bit. We don't come over to the West Coast, unfortunately, but we'll be coming back that way later on. But yeah, how'd it come about? I mean, I met those guys. We did like a photo shoot together or something for Q Magazine a while ago, and I was chatting to the Edge, and Edge is like he's really into his studio gear. So I was chatting to him about guitar amps and gear, like, and became quite friendly. And so I think it may have come from that. You know?
Most bands, they try to bring somebody that won't upstage them as an opening act. Most of them go, oh, you can be good, but don't be too good. Because we want to blow people away. U2 is one of those rare bands that probably can, but...
Well, I think they'll be all right with us. I mean, I think we'll play well, but they've got about £45 million worth of set that's going to help them out. You know?
Sure.
So,
yeah.
So I think they may just have the edge.
They do have the edge,
quite
too, as well.
When you finalized that deal to open for U2, it had to have flashed through your mind. There was a time in your life when you went out and bought a U2 album as a fan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Had to have happened.
Yeah, my brother, my older brother, was a massive fan of U2, or still is a massive fan of U2. I remember hearing their early records like Joshua Tree and, you know, Under a Blood Red Sky, that live album.
Amazing. Yeah. All right, let's go back out to the audience here. It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Muse. Who's next, Dave?
Guys, I got Natasha.
Hey, Natasha.
Hello.
What are you doing later? Oh, I'm sorry. We're on. Go ahead.
You guys are phenomenal. And my question is, like, if you could meet your idol, who would it be?
If you could meet your idol?
I would... I think there's one person that if I met that would make me really nervous, and that would be Tom Waits, because I think he's just an amazing songwriter, amazing performer, just like he's some kind of enigma. You know, it's the kind of person that I almost wouldn't want to meet in case he didn't, you know.
Because you have an image of what it would be like to talk to him, and it might be disappointing,
exactly,
right?
Yeah, but he's like, to me, like some kind of genius, you know.
Yeah. How about you, Dan?
Well, you know, a non-living one, you know, Jimi Hendrix.
Good luck with that.
If anyone could meet him, you could.
Another non-living, well, maybe Buddy Rich as well, you know, because he's like a big inspiration to loads of drummers. But
yeah,
he was a real character, because apparently he's a real badass, you know, and he used to, like, treat his band like
and you admire that.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be quite interesting to meet him and see what kind of character.
Maybe when
he is.
You get to that other planet, you guys could all hang out.
Hopefully he's going to be there. Yeah.
It's tough. How about you, Chris?
I think it'd probably have to be Brian Wilson, I think. Big Beach Boys fan.
Wow.
So,
how about that?
Yeah, that'd be quite cool, you know, hang out, talk about the 60s, you know.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's a Muse fan, knowing how into production he is.
I don't know, he's pretty frail these days, so
yeah,
I don't know if he'd take it too well.
You guys might overpower him if he heard that. Interesting choices. All right. Can we do one more before the break, Dave?
Yeah, this is Julio.
Julio.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Huge fan. I've heard your guys' songs in movies. Would you guys ever compose something for a movie? I mean, hearing Exogenesis and all the other good, you know, piano songs, and would you guys ever do that?
We get asked from time to time to do bits and pieces. Actually, I did the end credits of a film called The International, which wasn't a very known film, but that was something that happened just before we made the album. That was one of the things that actually gave me the idea to go with Exogenesis, a more sort of orchestral piece. At the moment, I might be doing some vague work with a new film called Clash of the Titans, but to be honest with you, it's the Hollywood world is really it's tough. I'll be polite as possible. They're very difficult to work with. That's the polite thing I can say. But yeah, it's something that would be I'd be into getting into if I had more time, certainly. Yeah.
I can understand it as an artistic challenge, why that would be exciting, but you're right, you have to deal with so many bosses and you have to make so many other people happy, as opposed to you've already got your own band, you guys can do whatever you want.
Yeah, you do. When you're in a band, you do your own thing, do whatever you want, no one's telling you what to do, you know, but as soon as you go into Hollywood world, you know, you're at the bottom of a very, very big
pile. Yeah, that's true. I was reading a book by Stuart Copeland, who has done a lot of movie scores, and he's got entire orchestras set up, ready to go, and somebody will come into the last second he's never met and say, I want it to go a different direction. He's got to do it 5 minutes.
He's got to do it.
Right.
Go,
you don't see yourself doing that. We've talked a lot about Exogenesis, and when people get the album, they'll know why so many people are talking about it, because it's unlike, you know, anything we've heard in such a long time, but that's a 40-piece orchestra on that track, right?
Yeah, well, actually, it's 25, I think, but we recorded them twice. So it's kind of 50.
All right,
it's
50-ish.
All right. It's a cheap 50. Yeah.
Was it hard to keep a hold of that, or is it easy to kind of lose focus and control when you got that many musicians? You got to get going in the same direction.
Well, we worked up our parts first and recorded our parts, and then we actually did sort of synthesized strings first to sort of familiarize ourselves with how it's going to go. You know, so by the time we went with the orchestra in the studio, we were very prepared. You know, you have to be prepared when dealing with that many people, and because otherwise it will just go to
it's
chaos.
It's pretty expensive to just have them doodling around for a few hours.
Yeah,
to find the beat, right?
Actually, having said that, we did get them doodling at one point. Yeah, we got them to just doodle and just improvise, and we recorded some weird experimental stuff, which may feature on the future album, maybe.
You guys had to feel like Brian Wilson when you were there looking out of that orchestra, I would imagine.
Absolutely. I actually missed the orchestra bit. I was ill, so I was pretty jaded, because it's always amazing to see, you know, the strings come in, and yeah, always amazing to see other people playing on your music. So I was really upset that I missed that little
session. Did you ever hear they're kind of knockoffs, but your band is one that got the string quartet treatment. Did you ever listen to that record that was released of your music?
Yeah, I think I heard Time Is Running Out or something done.
Yeah,
by
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a compliment, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The
yeah,
songs
great,
stand
yeah.
up without your participation. So.
Absolutely.
All right, we got to take another quick break. More live music from the band when we return. More of your questions, too. It's Breakfast with Music. How do you guys like it so far? Pretty cool, right? Yeah.
Michelle likes it. Michelle's well into it.
We'll be right back after this on the Kevin and Beans.
It's breakfast time. Come and get your breakfast on.
Now eat it. Kevin and Beans Breakfast with Muse in Manhattan.
Taking me far away.
are back. It is our Breakfast with Muse on the Kevin and Bean Show. The three guys are here. We are in New York City with some listeners. And Jessica Martinez is a listener who wrote in on Facebook, and she wants to know how it feels seeing yourself as a character in Guitar Hero 5.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, actually. Yeah, I'm quite into that. I don't really know much about Guitar Hero. I think Night of Cydonia was a song that went on one of the previous games, and I never got the chance to see it. But when we were in the studio, these guys were playing Guitar Hero quite a lot. And I'm actually really crap at the guitar, but I'm really good at the drums. And
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, but I'm into it. I had to go and put on this silly like leotard, like a sort of like, and cover myself in ping pong balls and look like a right old basically dancing around. And that was like a motion capture suit, you know.
Oh, I see.
So it was good to get a little insight into all that technology, you know.
Do they run it by you and you go, hey, you know, I could have a few more muscles.
You know. Yeah, I think the ping pong balls were covering all the important parts.
They made you, like, really, like, buff and ripped.
Oh,
like,
yeah. The actual character they made at the end, yeah, looks like a real sort of beefcake.
That's what I'm talking about.
As you say over here, yeah.
Might as well.
So someone can be you in the game and then play...
That's it, yeah.
Play avatar, song, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Be an avatar, which is me playing... I think our song's Plugging Baby in there. But uh-huh. I think there's also... I think you can use the character to play other songs as well.
Isn't that wild? And then I think I've heard you mention in interviews, you look on there and it's Kurt Cobain and it's Carlos Santana and it's Johnny Cash and it's you.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. I don't know how I got there.
It is pretty weird.
I tried to challenge Tom Morello to a game of Guitar Hero on one of the previous ones where he was an avatar and you got to get past him, and he wouldn't do it. He says, I can't. I don't have anything to prove. I'm the one that did it on the real guitar.
He wouldn't play with himself, huh?
Correct.
All right, here's another Facebook question. We talked about movie scoring a little bit, but now Angie Gonzalez wants to know, tell us how Stephanie Meyer became obsessed with your band and what it has to do with Twilight.
We came to a gig. It must have been five, six, a number of years ago. It was when she was still writing maybe the first, second book or something. I don't really know. She came to a concert in Phoenix, in Arizona, which I'm not sure, she may have been living there or something.
That's where she's from.
So we got to meet her and she's very nice. She came back after the concert in a chat and she was telling us how much she likes the music, and she says she listens to it when she's writing. So that's...
And you, of course, had no idea who she was at this point, because
I didn't know anything about the book until I met her that time,
right?
And then she said that night, she said, oh, by the way, if I ever get a film made, can I use one of your songs? And I said, yeah, what? I didn't know that was going to come up within a couple of years, you know. So that's how it came about.
You were thinking, yeah, that'll never happen.
Sure. Of course. Have you seen the films?
I've seen the second one. It's not out yet.
I don't think it's out yet.
But it's so interesting because a lot of writers of books and movies do this, where they play music while they're... And she says, I mean, she was literally choreographing some of those scenes to certain news songs, which is just
it's amazing.
An unexpected consequence of your music being out there in the world, I guess.
Well, it's a massive compliment when, you know, anyone gets inspired by your music to do something creative. It's great. And obviously that's emphasized when she's, you know, sold 45 million books or something.
That was a U2's production cost.
Oh, yeah.
Now she probably wouldn't take your calls.
Yeah, but, you know, it's amazing, really. She's put dedications into books and all sorts. So,
that's awesome.
That's great. It's great that she likes it.
What's a great place that you've been able to visit in the world in your touring days that... a lot of people don't get to see that surprised you as being a...
We always loved touring in Asia. We played in Indonesia, and that was a crazy crowd there. And South Korea, we played there. We're trying to get into North Korea, but we're not sure if they're going to let us in.
You know? Well, you have to run across the border. That's how you do it.
What's he called? Mao Zhang? What's he called, that guy?
Kim Jong-il?
Yeah, Kim Jong-il. Yeah. Don't think we're going to get in there, I think, unless we put a big poster of him up behind us. But we played South Korea, and the crowd was just unbelievable. And the crowds out in Asia are just insane. You know?
Why do you think? They love rock music.
I think, to be honest, a lot of bands don't tour there that often. So when bands come through, they're just, you know, very, very keen.
Do you when you schedule your tour, do you give yourself some time to actually see the country, or is it fly in, do a gig, fly right out?
Depends where we go, really. You know, when we're like touring around the States and Europe, where we're on a bus, basically, when you've got a big tour bus, you know, the gigs are quite tight together and it's hard to really get a lot of time. But what Matt was saying about Asia, because you're flying around, you get to see quite a lot. And Australia is always a good place to see sights, because we're going to be doing a big day out, and that's
in America,
that's called the big day off, really.
Where's Yellowstone Park? Is that Montana? Yellowstone Park?
Part of it is in Montana.
Yeah, we went there once actually. That was really good. Yeah, when we're traveling through the middle of America, we always like to stop off and look at the sort of the big sort of wild nature there. It's amazing.
Do you have any countries that you just have nothing but bad memories of? Places you've been that were just crap holes. Disastrous gig. You didn't get paid. You got hit in the face with an apple.
I can say we didn't have a good time in Brazil. I can say that much.
Brazil?
Yeah,
wow.
Brazil. Yeah, yeah. We did a South American tour and everything was great. But Brazil was just a bit. We had a couple of bad gigs and we took a few wrong turns, down a few wrong alleys, and nearly got killed.
You don't really want to do that in Brazil.
But basically, yeah. But that was. But yeah. It was cool.
All in all, you get on pretty well around the world.
Generally, we're very friendly. Yeah, we like everyone.
We like to be tourists, and try and see as much as possible.
Sure.
It's good to travel.
We are doing our breakfast with Muse here on the Kevin and Bean Show. With this new record coming out and all the high-profile appearances like last night on MTV, are you concerned a little bit about losing some of your anonymity that you might have enjoyed up till this point in the United States?
I think we're all the fans we've had just like us for the music, so we're not the kind of people that get recognized in the supermarket or walking down the street. Well, maybe the odd cashier here and there, but it's not a problem. We don't get like stalked out by people. So people tend to just like the music, which is great.
Well, you do in England, don't you? I mean, isn't it?
It's all right, because we're not like, as I said, we're not like the celebrity types. We don't sort of go down. We don't go to bars with like models and get into fights with other bands and stuff. So
is that
so,
in the future?
That's what you have to do in England to be known, basically.
Let's not knock dating models, by the way. Not so quick with that. All right, we got to take one more break. Come back with another live performance from the band Muse and the final round of questions for these guys. It's Breakfast with Muse. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll return right after this. Hit it, Steve.
Kevin and Beans. Kevin and Beans. Breakfast. With Muse. In Manhattan.
And
We've been hearing that one a lot lately, but how about that live? That's Uprising Muse here on Breakfast with Kevin and Bean. Thank you.
The time has come to make things right. You and I must fight for our rights. You and I must fight to survive. No one's going to take me
our Breakfast with Muse, the last segment here with the guys from New York City. And I got to ask you guys, a lot of people compare you to other bands. I know that has annoyed you in the past. Radiohead's a long time ago. Queen, a lot of people say. Yep. Just to try and kind of get a handle on your music. I was reading an article in Spin Magazine. They called your music Picture Steroids on Steroids.
Steroids on steroids.
Yes, that's how they described this new album.
That's pretty pumped up, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
How would you describe it?
Steroids on steroids. I like that. That's pretty out there. I'm not sure how to describe it, really. It's you can't really be objective to yourself. Do you know what I mean? You just do it. It just comes, you know, whatever comes out, it just comes out, and you just go with it, you know? I think, you know, it's a rock band, don't we? Yeah. Let's keep it simple.
It's Muse music. That's what it is,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Would it be lame for me to ask, since I really don't know how you ended up settling on that name? Because you had a bunch of other names that you've worked with together and apart before Muse. I mean, it's so simple, and it's one of those words it seems like you could read a lot into, but what did it mean to you when you picked it?
I think, yeah, the town we came from was, like, there was not much going on in it, and apart from a lot of people getting in bands, a lot of people doing art and that kind of stuff, it just seemed like, I remember there's some old boy in the town who said there's, like, a muse in the town, like there's some kind of weird spirits or something that are influencing everyone to do all this artistic stuff, and that word just stuck with me, you know, and then we sort of, we liked it because it was short. We were called Rocket Baby Dolls at one point, and that's so long that it looks crap on a poster, you know, so muse always looks big on a poster because it's so small, you know?
Sure,
so,
yeah.
We just wanted one syllable.
Were you surprised when it wasn't taken? Because a lot of people come up with names that they're so happy with, and then they find out there's
I was very surprised because it seems like such an obvious name for a band. You know?
Yeah. Here's one more Facebook question for y'all. This is from Corey. Wants to know if you guys have ever thought about collaborating with another artist to record. Is that something that may happen?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, we haven't done anything like that really to date, other than like working with strings and stuff like that. But yeah, maybe. I mean, it's not anything. It's not something we ever turned down or actively got involved with, really. But
Something would have to make sense, right person.
We did something with Mike Skinner.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mike Skinner from the Streets. He's a kind of rapper.
Right.
We mentioned the Giant Stadium tour date, which is going to kind of kick off the tour. How long are you guys going to be out on the road this time around?
Overall, I mean, I think we'll be going on and on probably till the end of next year, I think. So I mean, at the moment we've got the U2 tour, then a European tour, then we're doing Asia and Australia, and then we're coming in for quite an extensive US tour. It'll be our biggest US tour, starting around about end of February, March or something like that, for about 3 months.
How does that fly with those of you with wife and kids?
It's fine. I think we kind of structure it so, you know, go home every
anyone with wife and kids, just feel free to take that one.
But you know, you just go home after, you know, 3 weeks, go home for 4 or 5 days, and then come back out.
So they schedule you some time in the middle
I don't think there's any more than 3 or 4 weeks in one go, so
without like a week off.
Is it daunting? Do you think, wow, a year and a half of my life is already playing?
It is at first, and then once you get into it, it's fine. You know, it's just getting started, I think.
Yeah, getting started up is, but once you're rolling, and you're off. Yeah.
And when you hit the stage, that's when it's all worth it, right?
Exactly.
You have news fans in front of you, and you're playing the music that you love, and it's got to be the biggest high in the world.
That's the main reason. It's great.
It's totally the main reason. And the thing is, we still love it. You know, we're still touring, and like the last tour was 2.5 years, and I'm sure we're going to go on a tour for another few years now and make more music in the future. But it's something that when we're all like on the same page and really like lost in the music, it's an amazing feeling. So it's something that's still inspiring to us.
I'd like to be the first one to ask you when the next Muse album is going to come out.
Cool. Blimey.
Next Monday.
Okay, next week.
We'll see how it goes.
Well, every time we get the opportunity to talk to the few rock bands out there that seem to be getting something done, we always thank them on behalf of our show at our station, because there aren't very many of you anymore. We're living in a little Wayne world. Right. So we appreciate that you guys are out there keeping it alive and doing the great work that you do, and especially appreciate you taking time. Let's hear it for the guys in Muse, by the way. Really great, you guys. Best of luck to you. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me. Sounds like Death Cab for Cutie on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. We have tickets for you to go to the world premiere of Zombieland. We'll take five callers right now. First five callers, Man's Chinese Theater. September 23rd is the world premiere, and then it is in theaters on October 2nd. It's the world famous K-Rock at 9:29.
All right, our remaining moments in New York. It's the Kevin Abeen Show broadcasting live from Manhattan. How about Breakfast with Muse, by the way? How cool are those guys?
Very cool. Super that was awesome. Funny.
And it was great having some Kevin and Bean listeners here in New York for the breakfast, too. You know, we had a very busy weekend. We interviewed Green Day over the weekend. We'll have that up on the website later if it's not already. And we shot a bunch of video stuff we haven't even had a chance to mention up until this point on the air that is also available in the section on our website called Kevin and Bean TV. All sorts of video. Lightning was following us around everywhere we went this weekend shooting video. And we got a few to point out to you.
Well, the first one is Bean getting a haircut in Harlem. For some reason, you and I, our goals are to be a better person, to accomplish whatever. Bean's goal is to get his hair cut in 50 different states consecutively.
5 down, 45 to go.
And
I'm too far in to quit now.
You sure are. You're 5 in. Yeah. How do you quit now? So we're in New York City, of course. So he went to Harlem and went to a barber shop and got his hair cut.
All right, it's time. Haircut number 5. Let's meet the man who's going to be doing the work here today. What's your name, sir?
Michael.
How long have you been cutting hair here in Harlem?
I've been cutting here, right here, for 3 months now.
3 months? Hello, help! Help! Are you any good?
Well, you'll see.
Yeah, right. That was not the answer I was looking for, by the way.
You were looking for 25 years.
Yes, sure. Exactly.
And yes, I'm great.
Wait till you see. You got to go to the video if you care at all. I no longer look like a homeless guy, but wait till you see the haircut that I walked out of there with.
I got to be honest. You used to have really long hair. Now you look like you're about ready to join the Marines, and you're retarded. I mean, I think that's basically the outcome. We also saw the world's lamest parade. Now, this is a Labor Day parade, and it was yesterday.
Well, that is not Labor Day.
Or Saturday.
It was Saturday.
Either way, it's not Labor Day.
It was Saturday. It was the week after Labor Day, and it was a parade in quotes, and it was just pretty much the labor unions, and it was 4 or 5 hours long. Here are some highlights. It's the guy eating an apple and another guy holding an umbrella float.
Holding a what?
Umbrella.
Ella.
Yeah!
Okay, is the parade still on?
I mean, I think that's what that is.
Are you in the parade voluntarily, or are you a hostage? Are you trying to be in the parade, or did you just get lost? Barack Obama, you lie.
It was literally 3 hours.
At least 3 hours of Teamsters in T-shirts and jeans walking down Fifth Avenue.
Were there bands and floats?
There was one band.
of just one band
of bagpipers.
Yeah, pretty much
in 3 hours.
But for the most part, honestly, it was just people walking, and it was so low key that they would have to stop for the red lights, and then like people could cross cars and everything. People. And then they get the green light, and then they could continue.
And nobody was watching it. It's not like there were people lined up to cheer on the unions. Like, who cares about the asbestos union, you know? But that's what was in the float. And they apparently it's a tradition every year in New York. It was weird.
That is so odd.
I hate parades. This came around to being fascinating.
Because it was so bad
that you just
it's like a walkathon.
Yes. We'd sit there, we'd go have lunch, come back out, a few more people straggling by. We're like, we don't know if that's still the parade. It was. Still the parade.
You have to check out the video. There's a lot you're not going to believe made the parade.
There are people on the corners here that are selling their own CDs. They do their self-promotion. They record it themselves, and then they get out there and they say, here's some headphones. Listen to my rap.
Well, I'll tell you, in Times Square especially, there are a ton of people who are hustling. They're trying to get bodies into comedy clubs, for instance. They're trying to promote their acting or their singing career. And I guess we ran into a rapper who made his own CD, and he, you know, burned them and is selling them on the street.
There's Mustafa.
Off of the dome, New York City. Yeah, that's the place to go home, same place I roam. Just like your cellular phone, back to the bone. You know what it is. Mustafa, the true hip hop, I'll holler at your boy.
What are you doing? Are you giving away the CDs here or selling them?
Yep.
Oh, you're selling your CDs?
Doing my thing, man.
So you rap for people, and then if they like it, they buy your CD?
Yes, sir.
How's that going for you?
It's going pretty good. Times Square, New York City, man. You know, it's a numbers game, man. It's, you know, people out here, man. I have fun, and, you know, don't mind supporting and showing love. You know what I mean? Right.
So how many have you moved today?
Today, I just got out here. I sold about, like, 15.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's more than Creed is selling these days.
There's our friend Mustafa. And Lightning bought the CD. We gave him $5 for it, so we haven't heard it yet. We don't know what the rest of it's like, but...
And by the way, that's a message to all you people sending us emails on Creed. F you all. F you, F you. And finally, we were taking a subway around town. And
this was coming back from the Jay-Z concert.
Yes, we went to a Jay-Z concert on Friday night, which was awesome. Madison Square Garden. So we get on the subway, and Bean says, I can run up this down escalator. Now, Bean is not athletic.
How dare you?
He's anti-athletic.
How dare you?
He is anti-athletic.
Yes.
He eats sugar.
Yes.
For every meal.
And that's it.
Yep.
And he exercises zero. Now, this escalator was, I don't know, 100 feet maybe. 75 feet to 100 feet.
What were you thinking?
A down escalator. He was running up it.
I'll tell you what I was thinking. If I have the opportunity to make a buck, because Kevin will bet on anything.
Yes.
There's a crisp $1 bill for him if I can do it.
And stupid Bean only asked for a dollar. I would have paid him $100. Mike, get on the microphone and tell me, what are the chances that Bean could make it up a down escalator 100 feet?
Well,
zero?
Okay, here his chances are higher because they usually move so slowly for safety reasons, and because you said it was in the subway tunnel?
Right. Yeah.
There's so many people usually coming that they have them moving really slowly, but Bean is just, I mean, he is the anti-athlete. I mean,
I'm a blob, I'll be honest. I am Jabba.
So it's a toss-up.
Bean
it's
is a sinkhole. Bean is where energy goes to die. And you don't need to play the clip here, Mike, but I'm going to tell you right now that people can watch the video. Bean went all the way to the top pretty easily.
Really?
What?
No
pretty
way.
Easily.
Yay!
Now, in my defense, he skipped every other step, which I didn't think to, because I didn't think it would make any difference.
Oh, because of Daddy Long Legs, yeah.
Yes.
Well, you thought I'd get 10 feet on and then just either fall down or sit down and cry and get some French fries.
I thought the end of that video would be him collapsed at the bottom of the thing and it just hit him in the ass every 5 seconds.
You're
rubbing him raw. He ran all the way to the top. Just no big deal.
Wow.
I'm impressed.
What are you, training on the side?
What are you? How?
I'm very motivated when there's a dollar on the line.
Oh, wow. Bean,
oh my God.
Bean, I have a question.
Bastard.
Yes. Congratulations on making it, but were you, A, famished when you got to the top, and were you sore the next day?
I wasn't sore at all. I was starving, though. I was exhausted because that's as much – I expended as much energy there in that 20 seconds that it took me to run up the escalator that I do
this
normally
year.
In hours. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I was pretty hungry. But you should check out the video because the guys were stunned, I will tell you.
It
that.
Was BS.
And that's a sweet dollar. I can't decide whether to buy a big gulp or to frame it because I'm so proud of that one.
Go to kevinandbean.com. Look at the Kevin and Bean TV section to all watch all these videos.
This show has got to be over.
Almost.
Okay.
Ralph Garman out today, but we're going to take one final look at the Showbiz Beat. I understand that there is something new to add to the supposed feud between Taylor Swift and Kanye West. For folks who haven't heard yet, on the VMAs last night, the MTV Video Music Awards, Taylor Swift was up on stage preparing to accept her award. And Sucker Buck, if you'd have that clip ready. So she wins the award. One of the first awards of the night is for Best Female Video. And there's a little bit of a surprise visitor on stage as Kanye West comes out of nowhere, grabs the mic, and starts giving his own speech about how he thinks that award should have gone.
Thank you so much for giving me a chance to win a VMA award.
Yo, Taylor, I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. One of the best videos of all time.
So, white woman can't win a VMA? Is that what Kanye's saying?
Apparently not, unless Kanye gives the thumbs up.
By the way, the entire place started booing. And then later in the night, when Diddy started talking about Kanye, they booed again.
Yeah, they did.
He's like, what did I say? What did I say?
So after that, then Kanye posts to his website. And we talked to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com earlier today, who told us that this was up on Kanye's website in the middle of the night, and then it vanished. It was up for a short time, and then it vanished, where he actually did apologize. He said, I'm in the wrong for going on stage and taking away from Taylor Swift's moment. Beyonce's video was the best of this decade, he goes on to say, by the way.
Sure.
I'm sorry to my fans if I let you guys down. I'm sorry to my friends at MTV. I will apologize to Taylor tomorrow. Welcome to the real world. Everybody want to boo me, but I'm a fan of real pop culture. So in other words, what he's saying is, I'm going to apologize because I'm getting a lot of heat, but I still think what I said was right.
Wow.
It's still important that I get out there who I thought should have won the category, regardless of what the viewers thought.
So Taylor has finally responded. And in hers, she says, well, here's what I did. She said people were Twittering her and, you know, emailing her and asking her about the situation. She says, well, I was standing on stage because I was really excited because I just won an award. Then I was really excited because Kanye West was on stage. And then I wasn't so excited anymore.
Oh, God. That's so sad.
I hurt her so much. Now, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, tonight is the debut of the Jay Leno talk show. Tonight is when he starts at 10 o'clock.
Oh, that's right.
And the first musical guests are supposed to be Jay-Z, Rihanna, and Kanye West doing the Run This Town song. We saw the three of them do that on stage at Madison Square Garden on Friday night. Is Jay going to take the opportunity to talk to Kanye about it? I don't know. I wonder. I mean, this is going to be kind of an opportunity for Kanye to discuss it.
If he talks to them, I bet he will.
I bet he will, too.
But I don't know that he's going to. Don't they usually not talk to them?
Yeah, the musical guest. But who knows? I mean, this is uncharted territory, this new show. I don't know how much it's going to be like what we're used to seeing Jay on The Tonight Show. But believe me, a lot of eyes are going to be on it. I'm sure Jay is so happy to have Kanye on tonight when everybody's talking about him. Top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Tyler Perry does it again. The guy is just a money printing machine. You listening to the radio right now, you don't know anyone who's ever gone to a Tyler Perry movie. Yet they make tons of dough.
They do.
And the last one, the one that just came out this weekend called I Can Do Bad All By Myself, made $24 million to open at number one at the box office. The movie Nine came in at number two, and Glorious Bastards was three. The romantic comedy with Sandra Bullock that apparently is one of the worst films ever made.
That's so sad.
By all accounts, it's the lowest rated movie I've ever seen on RottenTomatoes.com, which is the aggregate of all the critics across the country. I mean, the last time I looked, it was at 5% positive.
Wow.
Yet somehow it managed to be number four and make $5.8 million. Final Destination was number five. Sorority Row and Whiteout debuted at six and seven. District 9 was number eight. That's on track to be, it is now the biggest movie of the year. We'll see if it holds that at the end of the year, but the biggest box office movie of the year. Julie and Julia and then Gamer rounds out your top ten.
You remember Natalie Portman, hopefully, from her rap on Saturday Night Live. If not, we have a little taste of it. But first, this is from the September issue of Interview Magazine. She says, I love really, really obscene hip-hop. I love it so much. It makes me laugh, and then it makes me want to dance. I'm like a five-year-old. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe he just said that.
Wow.
So, and here's her performance, her rap performance from Saturday Night Live.
All the kids looking up to me can suck my it's Portman, mother. Drink till I'm sick. Clear your throat and pump nudges down the hall. Watch you laugh and cry while I laugh you die.
Come on.
She's so awesome.
She is awesome. And apparently the New York Post was talking to the Wu-Tang Clan's Ghostface Killa.
Mm-hmm.
Found out about Natalie Portman and said, give her my number. We've got to make some music together.
Wow.
So I'd like to suggest Natalie Portman and Wu-Tang together forever.
That would be something.
I think Ghostface Killah is just trying to get him a piece of Natalie Portman. I mean, who can
blame him
there?
Sure.
That would be awesome if they had her on the record.
Wouldn't that be great if she came out and did a song? Because she could totally do it.
Totally. What's the song that Leighton Meester from Gossip Girl is on that's right now? That's that Cobra Starship song, right?
Good Girls Go Bad.
Yeah. She sings on that song. I mean, it seems like all the actresses and all the actors want to be the music stars and vice versa.
Yeah.
It always works that way. Here's an update on the Tila Tequila story. Sean Merriman is not going to be charged, we found out on Friday, with assault and battery charges. Remember, he was accused by Tila Tequila of choking and falsely imprisoning her. He says, look, bitch was drunk. I was just trying to stop her from driving, so that's why I restrained her.
I don't think he even said bitch.
Tila Tequila, not happy about that. She made a thinly veiled reference to the possibility in her comments that prosecutors don't want to make enemies with the Chargers and with, you know, that's their team. He's a big celebrity down there in San Diego. She thinks that their favoritism played a part in him not being charged. Seems more likely that there's not enough evidence for them to successfully prosecute, would be my guess. Although it is weird to see all those bruises on her arms that she showed off all weekend long. Everywhere she went, you could see all the bruises. Anyway, she swears that she is a victim of violent crime. She says she was beaten and choked. The evidence, in her opinion, is overwhelming and disturbing. She vows to have her day in court and plans to begin pursuing civil charges against Sean Merriman immediately. So this one is not going away. And I got one more note here, because if you love the Ocean's 11 movies, as I did, Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13, how about Ocean's 14? How would you guys feel about that?
The third was just okay.
I liked 11. I thought 12 was lame. 13 was okay.
Yeah.
So I'm fine.
All right.
Good cast.
Amazing cast. Yeah. That's your Matt Damon and your George Clooney and your Brad Pitt. I mean, great cast. Well, we don't have to worry about it, because Steven Soderbergh says that the possibility is out of the question, because no one on the cast wants to do it without Bernie Mac. And now that Bernie Mac is gone, he says we don't have our 12 anymore.
So that whole conversation about whether we were going to do it or not, that was just teasing us?
It was just mute. The mute point.
Wow. Yeah. How would you like it if we all had cancer? We don't. Back to you.
Today's celebrity birthday is actor Sam Neill. He's great in everything. He's 62 years old today. Actor Dan Cortese, not so great at everything. He is 42. Walter Koenig, who was the original Mr. Chekhov of the Star Trek franchise, is 73 years old today. Morton Harkett, lead singer of A-ha, who won a VMA award for Video of the Year for their A-ha song called Take on Me some years ago, is 50 years old today.
30 years ago.
Nas is 35. By the way, I heard this morning that today is the anniversary of the first ever MTV Video Music Awards that were held back in 1984. Okay?
Okay.
Do you know who the hosts were that first year?
1984. No.
You're going to laugh when I tell you, if you could picture this today on MTV.
Right.
The hosts were Dan Aykroyd and Bette Midler.
Wow.
Really?
They hosted the first MTV Awards.
What a terrible choice.
We hope Ralph will be back tomorrow. That is the Showbiz Beat.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have Patton Oswalt, very funny comedian in the studio. Excited about that. We have Phoenix, a great band in the studio. They're going to be performing live. And we have Diabolo Cody.
Damn.
So that's all tomorrow morning. All new Kevin and Bean show live from Los Angeles on the Kevin and Bean show.
Oh, you're good.
Shut up, Mike.
We got to go home. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Hey, how about some Red Hot Chili Peppers for you? Also, we got Incubus, Green Day, Chris Cornell, Kings of Leon, Weezer, and more right after this on the world-famous...